Welcome back to an action-packed episode of LA Confidential. My name is Chauncey Talese, and I am the NFL editor for SportsLaDente.com. It's a great website. You should all subscribe. Do it now. Now! Enter promo code LA Confidential for 10% off the monthly, yearly, and lifetime packages. I'm here with Wes Campbell.
That's me.
That is him. And today we're going to be discussing NFL training camps because they finally started, so we're almost to real football.
Yeah,
almost.
Best time of the year.
Almost. So we'll be approving training camps, a whole bunch of stuff that come out of Comic-Con, and a whole bunch of trailers that drop this week, and some other entertainment news. Plus, we'll be doing our Quentin Tarantino performance top five.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, buddy. All right, well, let's start with training camp, and we'll start with my team, since this is an LA podcast, and it's my show.
Boo.
We're going to be scaling mountains and heading to the Rams Ridge. That's right, the Rams Ridge, not brought to you by In-N-Out. In-N-Out. We're open on Sundays because we love Jesus and our customers equally.
All right, I'll get
that. That's funny. If you've ever been in In-N-Out, you know why that's funny.
Yeah.
Also, suck at Chick-fil-A.
Hey, let's not bring the good name of Chick-fil-A down like that.
I'm sorry. Are they open on Sundays?
No.
Yeah, thank you.
No, that's
because they don't love you. They don't love you as much as they love Jesus.
Yeah, because
In-N-Out loves them equally because they understand that he's in all of them.
Because they know that Sunday's a sacred day for football and Jesus, so they get to stay home and
In-N-Out knows that when you're watching your favorite team and you want a double-double, you can get it. Anyway.
That's neither here nor there.
Anyway.
Erroneous.
Anyway, the Rams training camp is kicking off in Irvine, California at the beautiful University of Irvine. Rest in peace, Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. What? And I saw Chappelle there. It was awesome. Chappelle wasn't awesome, but you know.
I think the last time I went there was for a Jimmy Buffett concert.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went there for the second end of the Funny or Die Fest.
Yeah.
It was actually pretty fun. We'll next time on us here, we'll tell stories about that, because that was a really stacked show. Like, in retrospect,
that was when he was first.
Yeah, it was him, but then before him, the second big act was the Flight of the Conchords. Okay. So it was Jermaine Clement and Brett McKenzie. Then you had Kristen Schaal did a performance, Jim Jeffries. Hannibal Buress, and a couple other people. Oh, Jeff Ross is the MC. That fucking what's his face? Damn it, that comic we hate. With the eyebrows, this is driving me nuts.
And the nose and the eyes and the facial construction.
No, but he has like a specific eyebrow look. Hold on.
Okay.
Woody on the Woody Show loves him.
Bill Burr?
No, not Bill Burr. Oh. He was there, I think, the year before and the year after.
Okay.
I'll get his name in a second. I can't stand him, and I'm just like, ugh. Oh, Chris D'Elia. There we go.
Ah.
Yeah, not a fan. But, you know, anyway, there's other people there, too. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So the Rams kick off training camp. Jared Goff had a very, solid press conference. He didn't, like, bring up his money a whole lot, and we'll get to a lot of money later. Because he knows he's getting $20 million next year, or $20+ million regardless, so it's okay. He doesn't need the extension now. But what I did want to bring up, and what I really want to talk about training camp, is the things like you're most excited for and the things you really want to know coming out of it. And for me, and this is I'm sort of stepping on a piece I'm writing right now for SportsLaDente.com, great website, you should all subscribe.
Do it now.
The three things I'm most excited for, like, I don't care about the Todd Gurley thing because that's going to work itself out as the year goes on. Like, they have enough depth where I'm like, I'm not that worried. I'm also not worried about how much better Goff's going to be because that's going to have to play it out next year anyway. But for me, the thing I really care about the most, outside of whether or not the tight ends are going to get it together this year and they're going to be used a lot more.
Is the health insurance on knees?
No. Oh. I said I don't care about the Todd Gurley thing because that's going to play itself out. Like, camp won't tell you anything.
Yeah.
But what I am curious about is Wade Phillips and what he does with the pass rush. Because not only did they get Morgan Fox back this year, which is pretty awesome, Dante Fowler has a full year of Wade Phillips training camp, and he's on a one-year deal. Jonathan Franklin Myers, who actually did have a sack in last year's Super Bowl, believe it or not, he did, is in his second year, along with a couple guys that didn't get to play last year, like Okoronkwo, who they drafted in the fifth round last year. He hurt his foot, missed like most of training camp and like most of the season. And if he's really athletic out of Oklahoma, and if he can be good, who knows? Like, they have a lot of people that can contribute to that pass rusher spot, and, like, right now it's just Donald and Brockers up front, and no one knows who that third spot's going to be, plus the linebackers, you know?
That's true.
Like, if they can figure out a solid rotation, that defense could be a lot better than it was last year, and their secondary is going to be better than it was last year, because presumably they'll have a full season of Aqib Talib, or at least, you know, enough of one, so that Peters doesn't get burned again.
Like, toast.
Well, look, that wasn't entirely his fault, because he was, like, playing almost out of position. Well, because Talib wasn't there, Peters had to be, like, responsible for, like, every team's best receiver, and do so in a manner that he's not used to.
Yeah.
But, like, John Johnson's going to be in year three, and he's going to be much better, and he's already was already really good last year. And then they got Eric Weddle, and we'll see what he has left in the tank. But
with Weddle, mm-hmm. and I've said this since I've been on here, is you got that veteran leadership, and you got a really good, smart veteran playing the safety spot.
Alongside a really gifted young safety.
Exactly. So, you know, it's plus you got a great mind in Wade Phillips.
Yeah. Like, so, I'm hoping that because he has a little more toys to play with this training camp, he can figure out a solid rotation. Because that's kind of not murder them, because they went through. It's hard to get murdered when you were 13-3.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, that's what kind of almost killed them in a lot of games, is they just didn't have a solid rotation. Corey Littleton should be better this year. He's in a contract year, for one thing. Two, he just has a whole other year under his belt. And he could be really good. I don't know. Like, he had a lot of really good flashes last year. He's going to be playing alongside Clay Matthews. We'll see what he has in the tank. But it's the...
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Yes.
Yeah. He's coming home. He's coming home. And it really is home, because he played at the Coliseum.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I really want to know what the pass rush rotation is going to look like. That's the thing I'm most excited for. That, and to see if Gerald Everett can make a leap, and then him and Higbee can be a really, like, dangerous dual tight end combo. Because that's what Sean McVay did a lot when he was the OC in Washington.
Yeah. They definitely utilize the tight ends a lot there.
Yeah, and I've been waiting for that to happen, but because I'm like, well, they have Mount Everett, and he's really good. He's, like, really athletic, but, like, the word on the street was he just never quite got the, like, the route tree down. He just never quite was never a good route runner, all that stuff. So maybe this is the year it sinks in, and then Higbee, like, had a really solid moment, especially towards the end of the year, and then even in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, he's good for, like, one or two really long catches that extend drives, and he's a good blocker. Yeah. So if they can get that going, then they don't need to rely on Gurley so much. Like, I'm sure Henderson, you know, health permitting, is going to have a good camp as a rookie, and, you know, hopefully Malcolm Brown stays healthy.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, that stuff's going to... I'm not really worried that much about the offense, especially because Cooper Kupp won't be on the PUP list. Yay.
Oh, he isn't?
No, he's not on the PUP list. Yeah, very good for him. So, because, like, that was the missing ingredient last year, was, like, the guy that could just go deep. You know?
Yeah, but you guys had that in Woods.
No, but here's the thing. Yeah, but you could, if you double Woods, then it's like...
That's true.
Like, I like Woods a lot. He's a good route runner, a good blocker. But, like, when they had a Coop out there, like, he can...
No, I remember when they made the announcements for signing Woods, and you were so pissed. Like,
I know. What the fuck? Look, I've written about this a lot. I was wrong. And yeah, by the way, that contract's really good value, because only 5 years, $35 million. But I was like, who the fuck is this guy?
Exactly.
Like, because you look at a stats in Buffalo, and it's like, okay. But then you're like, oh, okay, it was a situational thing.
Yeah.
Okay. No, yeah, well, Robert Woods redeemed himself. Like, I'm glad. Like, don't get me wrong. but, like, once you double cover him, then it makes life a lot harder, because Josh Reynolds is as tall and lanky as he is, just hasn't been able to, like, break out the way I thought he would. Whereas Kupp can stretch the field.
Yeah.
And allow Woods to do Woods things. If that makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
But, you know...
Doing what Woods.
Uh-huh. So I'm sure the offense will evolve, but I really care about the pass rush. Because, like, the run defense was middling to abysmal last year at times.
Well, and, you know, like we've mentioned before, we played football in high school, and
we did.
And as
we did, we did.
Since I played,
this is our version of the Bill Simmons when we played pickup.
Yeah. But you know, as a defensive back and everything, mm-hmm. you heavily relied on the pass rush to make your job a lot
you
easier.
You have to,
so
it buys you time,
exactly, and that I think is going to be a huge factor, especially in Peter's development.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for him to kind of rebound from last year, since he got burned so much.
I know, and like a lot of it was sure a lot of it's his fault, but some of it was like him playing out of position. They talk about that a lot.
Yeah,
it's because like he's that's not what he did in KC, and that's not where he thrived. And this is a big year for him because he's on his fifth year option, and they keep saying they want to extend him. But like, if it's clear that like okay, even with Talib, he's just still like out of position and just not there.
Yeah,
then he could cost himself a huge deal.
Exactly. Because
he could theoretically reset the corner market if things go if things break right.
If he has a breakout year.
Yeah. Theoretically, it's there. Like the pieces are there.
Yeah.
And absolutely. If, you know, health permitting on Talib's side, which it's going to be probably his last year on the team, you know?
Yeah.
Because A, he's not getting any younger, and B, like, it is his last, contractually, I think it's his last year. So, if he can stay healthy enough, maybe. And Peters then can cash in next year.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, what are the things that you're like, if for you, because I know you're a Cowboys fan. We'll get to the Cowboys Corral. It's been a very eventful Cowboys Corral this week. But
yeah, buddy.
For the Rams, like, what are you curious about?
I'm going to be curious to see if they're still stuck on if they have the Super Bowl hangover.
Mm.
Like, if they're, like, again, yes, we're in training camp and everything, but
there's no way to tell.
Yeah.
Unless they play, like, mocks after, like, they went to the strip club that one night. Yeah. You know, in Varsity Blues.
Yeah.
If it's like that, then okay, you're like, all right, well.
Because, I mean, that's the big question is you got a young, talented coach in mm-hmm. McVay and everything. And can he sit there and repeat?
Look.
Like granted, yes, he repeated and actually exceeded expectations last year.
Yeah.
You know, first year, got into the playoffs. Last year, or second year in, takes him to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is a third year going to be that year that they win?
He's been saying all the right things, and his Kimmel appearance is very encouraging. Like, you know, seems like he's... No, but he seems like he's been very introspective about it.
Take it from a Cowboys fan, though.
Mm-hmm.
Words only go so far.
He did say one thing. He did say one thing that the clapper didn't say that I'm like, okay, you know what? I feel you.
Well, did he do it without clapping?
Big Bay, yeah, actually. Yeah.
Right.
I think he might have fist bumped a couple times, but
that's pretty close territory right
there.
He
didn't clap. And it wasn't an opportune time.
Okay.
No, he did say he did a lot of drinking after the Super Bowl, which, same girl, same. But I'm like, all right, that means it really hit him hard. You know? No, but I say that in jest, but like it's kind of...
That's an honest reaction, though.
But no, but yeah, and like Kimmel, he's like, hey, you know, like I get it. Like we played like shit. Like that. I mean, that's not what he said, but like he said, like I get it. Like it's not like a, you know what? Hey, any other day we would have done this or that.
Yeah.
It's a hey. Like I took this.
Now we executed and everything.
Yeah,
everything.
Right. It's a hey. You know what?
Shall play this.
You know what? There's two teams on the field, and sometimes, like he didn't do coach speak. Like I hate when coaches do like when they do
Fisher
bullshit
it.
Speak. Yeah. Well, no, Fisher would never. It's like well,
would have shrugged it off and been like
he would have.
Whatever. Just Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. Just the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I'll get back eventually.
Yeah.
No, he seems like he's at least been very introspective. It seems like he's, like, learned. You know, and I'm pretty sure he's going to get a bunch of wrinkles in the offense for next year. So
hopefully.
I'm encouraged. It hasn't been like a, well, shit happens. Like, it's been a very, like, I took this personally.
Yeah.
That's what you want to hear.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, like, no offense, but the clapper never seems to take things personally.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, it's always like, well, look, you guys, like, the other team just played really well. Like, let me just say, Jared Goff made some really good throws in that game, by golly. And you know what? Sometimes it just isn't your day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's the one thing I wish we had was I want to see some fire in him.
Right. Like, he just, like,
other than the fire that's,
like,
you know, going between his hands
like,
when he claps.
Yeah, I know. We'll get to the corral in a second, I promise.
Sorry, I'm chomping at the bit.
I know. Trust me, you have some good not sponsors this week.
Yeah.
But, I get it. The Super Bowl hangover thing is going to be a thing all year. And
it's going to be the number one thing
to
talk about.
They kick off the well, and Gurley. Gurley will be number one, followed by Super Bowl hangover.
Yeah.
But, you know, they kick off the season at Carolina, so, like, that's not exactly easy. They showed Cam making some throws today, you know, on the interwebs.
Oh, I loved how...
did you just see that?
I didn't see the video, but
like,
I loved the... It was like, oh, he's back.
I was concerned. I was like, oh, I thought his shoulder was broken. What happened?
Yeah.
I thought this was going to be the Andrew Luck redshirt season.
No, apparently he, you know, is progressing really well after the surgery.
Okay.
And, you know, they're saying that he's back to that MVP
and
form. But
the other thing I wanted to talk about before we leave the ravine and head down to the corral.
That's right.
Nice. Yeah, gotta love the segues.
There you go.
I am, you know, the offensive line is in a lot of flux because we, you know, we lost Saffold to Tennessee for some reason. And then it just Andrew Whitworth and Rob Haverstein and the rest of the offensive line are all second year guys.
Yeah.
Which is concerning, especially because week one you got to like line up against Gerald McCoy. Which, you know, who's on a new team and has a lot to prove and really does seem like he wants to stick it to Tampa Bay.
Absolutely.
Which is why, because he could have easily gone to the Colts, played indoors for at least half the season, because I think they have a couple indoor games, but, you know, and been on a real AFC contender, but it's like, I'll roll the dice to Carolina and stick it to Tampa twice a year, because screw you guys.
I'm not holding a vendetta at all.
No. Like, if he wants, he could say, you know what, anytime you get to play with Cam Newton, you got to do it, but or be coaching a Ron Rivera defense, you got to do it, but you want to stick it to Tampa. Like, he could have gone to the Colts for more money.
More money and chance at a title.
They spent like no money this offseason.
Yeah, and they had what, $98 million?
It was close. They had a lot.
In cap space.
Like, they're being really smart and I appreciate it, but like I wanted them to at least sign like one, like, oh fuck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where you go, oh shit, they're okay.
Yeah. Well, between them and the Cowboys, they retain most of their rosters.
Well, most of the roster that they don't need. The Colts, in the Colts' case, it's they have people that are going to come up for contracts like in 4 years.
Exactly.
Because they didn't have any stars. It was T.Y. Hilton, Andrew Luck, and Vinatieri. That's it.
Like, really? The Angels, Vinatieri.
Right, but can you name me another Colt? You're like, well, they had to keep him. Like, had to keep him. No. Or they had to pay him. You can't. Because, you know...
Robert Mathis. Dwight Freeney.
Because Chris Ballard really shit the bed the last 4 years, so it's not like they had a full cupboard.
Yeah.
You know? It's Chris Ballard, right? Who's our GM now? Or no, Chris Ballard's our guy now. Who was the guy before? Ryan Grigson. There we go. I'm sorry, Chris Ballard. No, Chris Ballard's amazing. I'm sorry. Ryan Grigson.
Jim Irsay.
Well, Jim Irsay, you know, he stays out of the way. He at least stays out of the way. Anyway, that was the Rams Ravine brought to you by Tommy Burgers. Tommy's Burgers. They taste pretty good going in. They're murder coming out.
Oh, they're switching it from Tommy's Burger, or from In-N-Out to Tommy's Burger.
You see, they're both LA institutions.
Ah, I like it. So
now we're going to come down to the Ravine and head into the Cowboys Corral. Not brought to you by the Texas State Fair. The Texas State Fair. Yeah, we'll deep fry it.
Hell yeah. I reckon.
Yeah. Seriously, they'll deep fry anything there.
Yeah, your dad would love that.
When they figured out how to deep fry Coca-Cola, I'm like, it's all over, folks.
I know.
Shit. Okay. Anyway, so the Cowboys landed in L.A. today. They're headed up to beautiful Oxnard, California.
Yeah, buddy.
Before it burns down.
Hopefully not anytime soon.
Look, I'm just saying.
It is California, but...
it's coming.
Yeah.
But anyway, not on the plane was running back Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah.
And they say, you know what, some say he'll have his head down and just be like, you know what, I'll come to camp, don't worry. But he's also not being with a team's kind of concerning, because you could easily schedule your vacation when you want, because... The NFL offseason, at least if you're a Zeke level of player, is a lot of space.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You can easily go to... Where did he go? What was it, Mexico? No, where was he?
During his suspension, he went to Mexico.
He did go back to Mexico. Okay, that's
well, right. He hasn't... There hasn't been any indication on where he is in terms of, like, did he leave the country? Because that's been the big story. Like,
I thought he actually committed to a place.
No,
okay.
Not yet. Not from anything I've seen so far. I've seen different reports saying that, he is, like Jason Garrett said, he expects him to report to camp. Same with Jalen Smith, because apparently they're neighbors that live right around the corner.
Sure.
But then Frederick came out today saying, like, it's a business. No one's going to hold a vendetta against people trying to... you know, do their business, and, you know, if he shows up, he shows up. If not, then we're going to keep going about our business and continue to get better. So, which I get. I mean, he's trying to stay neutral. But, yeah, I mean, it is disconcerting that he didn't, you know, fly with the team. But, I mean, other players have shown up on their own.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at fucking Jalen Ramsey of the Jags.
Hey, he showed up in an armored truck.
Look, with a hype man.
Look, say what you want. And we can get in. We can get into the, hey man, like back in my day, players wouldn't have done that. However, that's pretty fucking cool. I'm sorry. And I love that it made, you know, it made Tom Coughlin so angry.
Oh, absolutely. Like, you could tell. Like,
when he was writing.
Just based on when the hype man jumps out and starts talking, you could see the red on his face.
When he was writing letters to the president that there were too many states and he should get rid of two of them and that he's not a crackpot, he had to stop his typewriter. Look at that. What the hell is this?
Yeah.
Tom Coughlin, he hates the metric system because he gets the five rods of the, his car gets five rods of the hog's head, and that's the way he likes it. But I gotta admit, that's pretty cool. It's douchey, but it's kind of cool.
Well, I mean,
armored truck. Like, I'm sure T.O. slow clapped that.
Either that, or what's douchey, or showing up in the armored truck, or showing up in a helicopter, Antonio Brown style.
Or fucking, I know you're not a baseball guy, but Yoenis Cespedes, the year after, I think it was the year after they went to the World Series, showed up in like this weird ass car, and I think he either dented it or it was the weirdest thing. It was like he showed up in a Lambo, like a new Lambo, for no reason. Like, he just kind of like donated it in the parking lot of like Mets spring training. It's like, all right, this is gonna end well because it's the Mets,
exactly.
But you know. It's training camp, so for you know, they can get it whatever they want hammered out by. He's in on his fifth year option too. He's in the same boat as Zeke. He's in the same boat as Zeke, right?
What are you talking about? Like, which player?
Jalen.
No, Jalen was a second round pick.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he was.
Jalen Ramsey.
Oh, Jalen Ramsey. Yes, I thought we were talking about Jalen Smith.
No,
I thought we were back in the corral.
No. Just because we're talking about Jalen Ramsey there on the truck. Ramsey's in the same boat as Zeke.
Yeah,
he's on his fifth year option, so fuck it.
Like, between him and Zeke, they both have 2 years left on their rookie
deal. Yeah, this year and then the fifth year.
Yeah.
So it's all whatever, because like, they can either get it hammered out in August or not. Because there's other players that are holding out. We'll get to hold out watch in a minute. But exactly. As far as the corral, Jalen Smith, you saw the thing I posted earlier in our group chat. That if they sign Dak, Amari, and Zeke this year, they'll have the three highest paid players at their position.
Yep.
Which, if you're Jalen Smith, you're like, you're going on like overthecap.com and you're like, huh.
Yeah, how
where do I fit into this? Because DeMarcus Lawrence's extension kicks in next year, too.
Yep.
We're still paying Tyrod Smith.
Zach Martin. Travis Frederick.
Yeah. You're kind of looking around going, I don't see the math here.
Hey, but you know what? Cowboys are the most valuable franchise for the
But everyone plays the same
fourth year in a row.
Okay, the Rams are eighth, by the way.
Yeah,
I saw that coming.
I'm just surprised that the Rams are eighth, and what's the Giants and the Dodgers are tenth, tied for tenth.
That's weird. The Dodgers are tenth.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Exactly.
Wow. Well, the Knicks are number one. So what are we doing here?
Yeah. Exactly.
Sell the team, Dolan. Do your city a favor. They'll build you a statue if you sell the team. That's where we've gotten to with the Knicks. They will build you a fucking statue if you sell the team. Anyway, with the Cowboys, though, at some point the Bills have got to come due. Like, someone's got to go, and I don't know who that is.
And that's going to be the tough decision, is that... I mean, granted, yes, they saved $5 million by releasing Hearns.
Cool.
So now they're at $24
million. But at the same time, it's like, you don't want to commit to your roster in August, because, like, as the Eagles have taught us, like, you can make moves at any time. You have enough flexibility to make moves to make that...
All throughout the year.
Yeah, that's how they got Jay Ajayi. It's just, okay, you want a fourth pick? Okay.
Exactly.
We'll take him on for a year. Yeah. For 2 years.
Well, and
the Rams, it wasn't even a rent because it was 2 years.
Yeah, and the Rams did it last year.
Yeah, we did. So, I mean, at the deadline, they got Fowler.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's definitely going to be interesting what Jerry and Stephen Jones come up with. And, yeah, I mean, the story, you know, before, obviously, the Zeke holdout, maybe, whatever you want to call it, he has until tomorrow to report, so who knows, maybe he showed like he took his own way in,
maybe,
which,
or sending a signal like, hey, like, you know, this is going to be a cloud that hangs over us all training camp.
Exactly.
But
you know, the big story that they were going to try and do is that they're going to try and knock out deals for Amari and Dak
mm-hmm.
before or during training camp.
I'm surprised it's taken this long. I would have figured at least one of them would have a deal by the time the plane landed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who knows? It's what? It is 9:35 on Thursday. So,
I'm just saying, like, you would have figured at least one of them would have been like, as a, just a sign of good faith, like, hey guys, we got one of them locked in. It would have most likely been Dak.
Yeah.
But my question for you, and because Mondo was getting really chippy about this because he got upset that, like, Dak was probably going to make, like, north of 30. And Mike, I wanted to ask this, but he, you know, he's very touchy.
Yeah.
As somebody, again, as somebody who's already who lived through this last year, the Todd Gurley extension, where it sounds really cool, and then you're like, oh, shit, he's a running back making that much money. Like, so far, Zeke hasn't had any health problems, but that could all change very quickly, again, as we learned with Gurley.
Yeah.
So.
Well, especially how many touches Zeke gets a game.
Mm-hmm.
Or a year.
Because you don't really have any one that spells him very much. Like, at least Gurley had Malcolm Brown for a while.
Well, we had the last, I think, 2 years we had Rod Smith, but he's now with the Raiders.
Right, but like, you know what I mean? Like, Zeke got the lion's share.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's... I hate to be like, you know, I would never sign a running back for big money. Like, but... You don't know, like in today's NFL. Sorry to be talking ahead about that, but today's NFL. I don't know. It would make me nervous because you're like because running backs have the lowest shelf life of any position on the field.
Yep. I mean, it's
like
again for him and seeing different analysts and everything talk about like, oh, well, Zeke hasn't earned the money yet because of his off the field. Well, and that's the thing. He's led the league twice.
Mm-hmm.
2 years out of his 3 years being in the league for rushing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a reason why the Cowboys picked him at number 4. And yeah, he's proven to be a top 5 back. Mm-hmm. So I absolutely agree that he should get paid. But if I'm also him and you're looking at the ultimate goal of winning a Super Bowl, like take care of the pieces now and know that you're going to get your extension either next offseason or after your 5th year. Because who knows, maybe with the whole CBA getting ready to run out, like, all these guaranteed contracts now probably aren't going to mean shit in a year or two.
I don't know, because they'll still be on the books, but it's like,
but again,
what does it mean?
Exactly. And
it could be like that one weird year after...
and the market could reset.
I know, but like, I don't know, just it would make me very nervous, like, giving a running back that much money, because again, I'm living it now. Because it isn't like, okay, cool, we have Zeke, but then it's like, something happens, and you're like, oh, wow, like, years like 3 and 4 and 5, it's going to get dark.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, man, like, it could go south real fast.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, so I would press pause, because at least with Dak, you're like, well, okay, like, I get, like, you'd be apprehensive for extending Dak, because you just don't, I don't know what the hell he is yet. Because you have to ask yourself at a certain point, like, was that rookie season a total aberration or a total, like, perfect situation because the line was at its peak? He had Zeke at, you know, in his rookie year.
Yeah.
Like, the defense was, like, good enough, and it was just an anomaly? Or were the last couple, or was that, like, that's what Dak is going to be, and was the last couple of years just, like, a mess because they just didn't have any weapons for him? I don't know. Like, that's the question, because... You know, like, he had, like, one really good Dez year and one really good Whitney year his rookie year. And then then after that, they both kind of, you know.
They were both gone.
They were both washed and were gone.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. Because, like, Amari certainly, like, saved Zeke and Jason Garrett's jobs.
Well, they didn't save Zeke's jobs.
Well, so no, I mean, I'm sorry, Dak's job. Yeah. Dak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, he cured a lot of ills. Because, yep. Like, if they didn't have Cooper last year, it would have been a disaster. And all we'd been talking about was, like, holy shit, Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
well, that's a no brainer. They can just cut him.
Yeah. He's a fourth round pick. So you can, you know, trade him to Tampa for a pick or something.
Exactly.
But, like, now it's, well, hey, Dak and Amari.
Well, and that's the thing, too. Like, with Dak, and I know. Speaking of Armando, he's jumped on off board of Dak getting the extension. But, I mean, Dak is definitely... I think he deserves the contract. And
I know.
Because I think about it. Like, with how how many young players we have on the team, do we really want to sit there and try and find another quarterback?
That was because that's where I'm going. Yeah, that's where I was going to go with that too. Like obviously, it's hard to find another Zeke.
Yeah,
sure. But like, if you say, okay, Dak, you can walk after this year, like thanks for the rookie year.
Yeah,
deuces. Where do you go from there?
Exactly.
Because Mata's like, oh, just get some veteran. Like, no, because what are your choices? Like, there's no McCowans left for you to decide.
We have Fitzmagic, baby.
I mean, yeah, you could theoretically get Fitzmagic, but what does that get you? It gets you, what, 9-7? Because lest we forget, Fitzmagic is also kind of old.
Yeah.
Fitzmagic's rookie year was our junior year in high school. I know this because he played for the Rams.
Yep. Well, and let's figure this. Okay, so let's just say, hypothetically speaking, Mariota at... Did Winston get a new deal?
They're both on their options.
So that's not, okay, so you got...
Winston, it's, if Bruce Arians can't fix you, fuck you.
Exactly. So let's just say, hypothetically speaking, they don't sign Dak to the extension. And next year's quarterback market, you got Dak.
Mm-hmm.
You got Mariota.
Mr. Glass. Winston.
Thank you. We were literally just talking about Winston.
Crab Legs McGropey?
Yeah. Let's see. Probably Fitzpatrick, because I don't know if he signed a multi-year or someone
here. I feel like he got a multi-year from somebody.
From the Dolphins.
Oh, my God. No, he got a one-year. Okay. No. Shit, I forget.
Well, let's just figure...
Let's pretend he got a one-year deal.
Yeah, let's figure 1 year, because you know Josh Rosen's going to take over at some point.
Yeah, he is. I haven't sold my stock.
Let's see. I mean, theoretically, depending on how bad Carr is...
Ooh.
Because he has no guaranteed money.
Ooh. I almost, as a thought experiment, would love to watch Mondo have to watch Derek Carr as a Dallas Cowboys quarterback for a year.
Yeah, I mean...
Just because he... We've all made fun of Derek Carr, but like, he takes extra pleasure in making fun of Derek Carr.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I know. It's like, I don't know where you go from there. Because next year's QB draft outside of Tua is not that good, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean...
Because the Clemson kid can't even come out for another year.
Yeah, another year.
Yeah, he has to play this season. This season, next season, then he can come out.
Oh. I thought this was his last season.
I might be. I don't know, but I thought it was 2 years because he was like an actual like freshman.
Oh, okay. But yeah, like a true freshman. But again, think about it, like, where do you go from here?
Yeah, that's not a whole lot of latitude. And like, okay, maybe you get Flacco's corpse after the Broncos cut him, or you know what I mean, like, or Blake Bortles after the because he only has 1 year at the Rams.
Yep.
I don't know what you do. Like that's the conundrum. It's, I can either pay this guy now and hope to God he you know, whatever he needs to do, he does in training camp and beyond, or I could roll the dice and try to find some dude.
Yep.
Like, it's a devil you know versus the devil you don't know. And Dak, you know, for his credit, isn't bad. It isn't like you're giving, you know, Mark Sanchez, who retired this week, God rest his soul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like you're like, well, we're in it with Sanchez. You're like, oh shit, because I don't know what Dak is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and you know, if you're to flip this on me with Goff, like, I at least know what Goff is, and he's a B+ to an A- guy who could be a solid A. There were enough throws last year. People forget, like in the NFC Championship, he made some really good throws.
Yeah.
Like in the second half, when they needed to get yards, he got them.
Well, and look at...
And it wasn't like wide open. It was like he was getting it in tight windows.
Yeah, and I mean, but again, like throwing them back out there, you know, Dak has done the same thing, whether making the throws or he's taken off.
You know what it is? It's a moments thing, though. Because like, it's one thing to like, okay, I can light up the Giants in like November, but like there hasn't been like a playoff performance yet. You're like, okay, this is what, like when Rodgers took over for Favre that 1 year, and even though
talking about playoff performance, look what he did against Seattle in the Wild Card.
Right, I know, but it's a volume thing.
And look what he did against Green Bay his rookie year. They were in that game.
I know. I was going to say, like, Rodgers that first year where they lost to Arizona, but you're like, wow, okay. But like with Dak,
yeah, that BS call.
But you remember they lost to Arizona? It was in overtime, right? Or
Yeah.
But the first year he took over for Favre, I mean.
Yeah, it was that overtime where he got face masked and fumbled.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. But yeah, yeah, like, because they lost there. They had that other weird Arizona loss, too.
Yeah, that's true.
But, what I mean is, like, at least with, like, Rodgers, there wasn't as much lingering doubt. With Dak, there is. And, like, the stakes are lower because Rodgers was in a contract year at that point. By the time he got to his contract year, it was like, okay, this is our dude. That's all I'm saying. Like, they have to really ask themselves a lot of hard questions, and I don't know if they have the answers to it yet. We'll find out.
Yeah, I mean, that's the great thing about this time of year, is you get to find out what your roster's made of.
It's all hypotheticals until September.
Exactly.
That's why we don't do a lot of the dumbass stuff they do on, like, ESPN or NFL Network. Well, what if I put Rodgers in the Cowboys? How good could they be?
Yeah.
Like, I saw that today. I was like, that's what we're doing? Jesus Christ.
Well, it's a slow news day.
Jesus Christ. Well, while we're at it, if I put Marlon Brando in The Departed, how much better would the Jack Nicholson part have been? I don't know! You can't do that! Anyway.
That's half the fun, though.
Anything else in the corral you wanted to hit?
Yeah.
The players, by the way, are behind Zeke. They're like, oh, he's gonna do what he's gonna do.
Exactly.
But, we'll hit, what else you got in the corral?
Eagles suck.
Eagles
suck. Yeah. Suck it, Dubar.
Eagles, yeah. I know.
If you're listening, suck it, Dubar.
I'm really disappointed he wasn't here because I had some good Eagles, not sponsors.
I know.
Bastard. Anyway.
But no, that's all I got for the corral.
This is all for the corral?
Yeah.
All right. That was the Cowboys Corral, not sponsored. Not sponsored by Golden Corral. Golden Corral. Jeff Foxworthy eats here, so it can't be that bad, right?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember his line that he always said at the redneck thing, but...
Yeah, well. And let's see. What else do I have for NFL? So some weird news. I mean, not weird because it's Roger Goodell, but he decided not to suspend Tyreek Hill despite having audio evidence that would have given him perfect cover to do so.
Yeah, and this goes back to the NFL has no idea what they're doing in terms of disciplining
players.
It's not
the NFL. It's Goodell.
Well, yeah.
Because Goodell's been pretty adamant about how he's, like, judge, jury, and executioner. It isn't like, hey, man, the committee just had me by the neck. I couldn't do anything. No, he made it pretty clear. He has as much autonomy as he wants, and he decided not to use it on Tyreek Hill, which, dude, how hard is it?
Yeah, you got... Yeah.
Look, you can look up everything in Tyreek Hill's rap sheet, but the audio that came
going
out over
from
this,
college to now.
Yeah, I mean, shit. Bob Costas makes sure to bring it up every year.
Yeah,
as he should.
Exactly.
But you know, the audio that came out earlier this year didn't exactly help Tyreek Hill's case, and I thought, okay, he might get 6 games out of this.
Yeah.
Nope.
The minimum.
Nope. Which is baffling, and I'm sure I know fantasy owners want a goal. You know. Put their fingers in the ears and be like, yay, Tyreek Hill's available. But come on, like, how hard is this?
Oh, apparently it's, like, very hard.
Dude, help you help yourself.
Yeah.
Like, the audio was a get-out-of-jail-free card. It's like, hey, you know what? I heard this. It was unsettling. And, you know, he claims his innocence, but you know what? I can't in good conscience have this out there.
Yeah.
Right? Like, given
you would think.
You would think. Like, it was easy.
Yeah.
Right? It was an easy get out
That's
of jail.
It's a slam
free.
Dunk right
it's
there.
It's a slam dunk, but apparently Roger Goodell got blocked by Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Like,
but you could sit there and suspend Zeke for 6 games because of...
That's... Yeah, I know. Like, if you're...
For
like,
nothing.
I really... He just needs... Just appoint a committee at this point, man. Just get a... Like,
well, that's
a group of three people.
He's had over the years. Like, he has... I forget her name, but they have a... Domestic violence.
Yeah, use her because I'm sure she'd be like, "Yo, this is bad."
Yeah, like,
I don't know if he did it, but you know what? It's very hard for him.
Tyreek seems like a cool guy. He's learned his lesson. We're not going to suspend him now,
right?
Hey, Roger, you know this video just came out today, right? Oh, well, I already made the statement, so
walk it back now would just look weak. Like, yeah. Dude, come on! Like, he should have been suspended, and like. I know we want to be like, just let him play football, but with stuff like this, you need to take a stand.
Absolutely.
Like, come on, buddy. Like, how much goodwill would that have bought you? Like, hey, Rodgers got it. He figured it out, you guys.
Yeah.
Rodgers got it. Now
he's
just
finally
like,
learning. Like, he's my commish now.
You fucking tool.
Yep.
Like, he burned all the goodwill he had in 07 with all the Pac-Man stuff that was going on. and so forth. And then he squandered it hardcore in the last decade. And if the league wasn't making money hand over fist, his ass would have been fired. But the owners care more that his goal is to make them make the league make $25 billion a year. Which he did say that's his big goal, and so far he's almost making good on that. So they're like, all right, well, you know what? Let the courts decide.
Yeah.
Because that always goes well, whether you're a football player or not in those kind of cases. Anyway, moving on to Hold That Watch 2019. Woo! We got three players who are skipping camp right now because they want more money. Michael Thomas of the Saints.
Who deserves it? Deserves it.
Jadeveon Clowney, who we talked about last week, who also, you know what? I think he deserves it, but...
Yeah.
And Melvin Gordon.
Yeah.
All three of those guys deserve it. But it's one of those deserves and got nothing to do with that kind of deals, because with the Chargers, I don't know where... They had to start looking at couch cushions.
Yeah.
Because they also got to pay Rivers, and they got to pay... they got to pay Bosa next year, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Bosa's on his fifth year next year as well, but... You know, I'm sure they're looking across town and again at Gurley and be like, well, if we give him Todd Gurley money, like, I don't know. Because he already missed time last year.
Yep, and I think the year before that, too.
Yeah, that's right. So, I don't know. I support his holdout. Look, with holdouts, I have the Spider-Man rule for NFL holdout, for holdouts in general. Everybody gets one.
Yeah.
You get one holdout to get your big contract, and then you ride it out. But anything beyond that, you're just being greedy. Unless it's a very special circumstance.
Like your Jadeveon Clowney.
Well, no, because he didn't get a contract. It wasn't like he got extended and then it wasn't like a Revis where he gets extended and then he's unhappy after 3 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, at least Clowney, he's still in his rookie deal. Well, or no, No, I'm sorry. That's why they tagged him.
Yeah.
But what I mean is he hasn't gotten an extension yet.
Yeah.
It isn't like they extended him for 6 years and all of a sudden after year two, he's like, well, what the fuck am I doing here?
Yeah.
Like, he hasn't gotten an extension yet. So yeah. he's well within his Spider-Man rights.
Yep.
You know? So all three of them should get paid. Like, I fully support all three of them getting paid. Because you remove all three of them from their respective teams, and it's all of a sudden a very different story, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you got Jadeveon Clowney pretty much holding up the right side,
mm-hmm.
plays on the right.
Yeah, and it looks like he's only getting better. Like whatever was going on the first couple of years, he got over it. Like
he's gotten through that injury bug.
Yeah, he got through the injury bug, and it seems like he's like made the leap as a player. And it seems like, hey, if I'm the Texans, this is somebody I want long term as J.J. Watt fades out.
Yeah,
Michael Thomas, like he's easily the best receiver Drew Brees has had. Period.
And see, I'm sitting there trying to think.
Go ahead.
Of all of his receivers over the years.
Like, what? It's Marcus Colston and what? Who do you have for the couple of years in San Diego? He didn't. I mean, if you want to be
Vincent Jackson?
No. Did he have Vincent Jackson?
No, that was
Rivers.
That was Rivers.
Like, think about it. I think Keenan McCardle was probably the best receiver he had in San Diego. And even then, you're like, Keenan McCardle ain't no Michael Thomas.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like,
and I'm not even just saying that because Michael Thomas was a member of my championship fantasy team last year.
Yeah, I can't really say much about Tiger because he was part of mine, so I'm going to stay quiet on him.
Yeah, well, but I mean, seriously, though, Michael Thomas is the best receiver Drew Brees has ever had.
Yeah,
and easily the best receiver the Saints have ever had, including Joe Horn.
Yeah,
you what? Come on, like just talent wise, he's worth it.
Yeah.
But you know, the Saints also have some bills coming due.
Well, most of their money's tied up with Breeze,
but also people forget the cocaine spending spree they went on like 2 years ago when they sent like Jarius Bird for a shitload of money.
Oh yeah,
remember? Junior, they're capped out.
Yeah. Well, shit, they've restructured. Speaking of Breeze, so many times, mm-hmm. I think. This year, I think for 2 years, they're going to be paying him $40 million.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
So, I mean, good for Breeze. You know, cash out. Like,
no, he's earned. He's easily the greatest Saints player of all time. And easily the greatest free agency signing in the NFL, history. Yep. Name me a better one. The only answer I'll accept is Reggie White. And even then, like, the impact isn't even close.
You could sit there and say Peyton Manning for Denver.
No. Because you got two really good Manning years out of that. But with Breeze, it was
you're talking like a whole career, yeah.
But with Breeze, like, look how long it's been.
Yeah.
It's been a whole... And for what he meant to that team when he got there...
Yep. Especially coming back from that surgery.
Coming from the surgery, coming from the hurricane.
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't pay him enough for what he means to that city.
Exactly.
And he obviously won them a goddamn Super Bowl.
Yep.
That can't be unqualified. I mean, when Manning won the Broncos Super Bowl, but they already had two. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, in New Orleans, that one meant so much.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, if you're a Miami Dolphins fan, God.
Yeah.
Remember the Sophie's Choice they had to make make that offseason?
Yep, between Drew Brees or Dante Culpepper.
Uh-huh.
And they went with the better choice in Dante Culpepper.
It was coming off a blown-out knee and a really, really bad boat scandal.
Yep.
It turns out you can recover from a shoulder a lot easier than you can recover from a knee, especially when part of your game is based on running through the scrambling in the pocket.
Yep.
But it worked out for the University of Alabama, so who am I to complain?
Yeah.
Alabama should build Dante Culpepper a statue. They really should. Because if Culpepper had worked out, Saban doesn't go back to college. Yeah, yeah, think about that for a minute. Imagine if it wasn't a total disaster. He sticks around long enough for the Alabama job to get filled. And then maybe Saban goes to the University of Texas or something. But who knows?
Yeah.
Anyway, all three of them deserve their money. And they've all seemed like they've at least handled it in productive ways. Like, no one's done sit-ups on their driveway. or shown up in combat gear saying they're going to war.
Yeah.
You know, just saying. Anything else you got for NFL? Oh, Mike Tomlin got a one-year extension.
Who?
Mike Tomlin.
If I'm a Steelers fan named Justin, who is that?
Pittsburgh Steelers coach and Omar Epps impersonator at parties, Mike Tomlin. He got a one-year extension, which, you know, he should. His win average is pretty good, but then you're like, damn, some of those Mike Tomlin losses are rough because, like, they always play down in competition. That's, like, the one weird thing.
Yeah.
Like, every coach is a weird thing, you know?
Mine's clapping.
Well, no, you know, but I mean, like tactile wise.
Yeah.
Like, there's always like one or two Tomlin games. You're like the late Raiders game last year. You're like, what the hell? Like, you're the Steelers. You should be destroying. Like, this is a Raiders team that's tanking. What the hell?
Yeah.
Like, you're just confused. But it's because they don't play to their competition. But anyway, yeah. No, Tomlin. You know, this is kind of a big deal. A year for Tomlin. They're not going to fire him because the Steelers have actually never fired a head coach. Fun fact.
Yeah,
they did not.
Tomlin's their fourth coach?
Third. It was Noel, Cowher, and then Tomlin.
That's right.
And, you know, they've all come away with Super Bowls.
Yeah.
They have. Four for Noel, one for Cowher, one for Tomlin. I know. Sorry. It's facts are facts.
Fucking Steelers.
Just saying, well, hey. You know what? Sometimes that's how model franchises work.
Yeah.
But, you know, Tomlin might be the first to get fired. Who knows? I don't think it will be this year unless it's like a 4-on-12 kind of year. But even then.
Ooh, that would be interesting.
That would. I mean, hey, Roethlisberger's getting older. They're down and they're missing Antonio Brown and Bell. Their defense is shaky. TJ Watt is hurt.
Yeah, and you'll know the condition of Connor coming back.
Or what happens when it's like a full year of film and...
Yeah.
You know, because that was part of the appeal with him. Is like, who the hell is this guy? Now we know who the hell this guy is.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on from the NFL. Really quick, I just wanted to shout out the Dodgers. Oh, wait, I forgot to close the corral. I'm sorry, you're right. I caught myself. This was Cowboys Corral. Not brought to you by... Oh, no, I did Golden Corral already, didn't I?
Yeah.
Okay, my bad. I'm sorry. I was just looking at the outline. Anyway, I want to shout out the Dodgers are spending $100 million next offseason to renovate the Dodger Stadium because they have the All-Star Game next year.
That's why they're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, they have the 2020 All-Star Game, so they're going to make some renovations.
I heard they're like putting like elevators in like the back part of the stadium.
Oh, yeah.
The most.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's still the most gorgeous place to watch a baseball game. It really is. It's like being on the set of Mad Men. It just looks timeless.
Okay,
but I can't wait. That's a very good investment on their part. They're gonna build statues for Sandy Koufax and Vin Scully, I think, Sandy Koufax and Jackie Robinson, and Vin Scully will be there for the whole weekend.
Okay,
as he goddamn should be.
Yeah.
All right.
I didn't hear about the Robinson one. I heard about the Sandy Koufax one.
Well, yeah, they got a bump from Jackie.
Well, yeah.
Jackie, Sandy Koufax. Personally, I want a Mike Piazza statue, but I know that's not going to happen.
Yeah, don't be greedy.
You know. But anyway, so we're moving on to some superhero shit, because Jesus Christ, there's a lot of superhero shit. Oh, last buddy. Weekend, as you know, was Comic-Con. Before we get to Marvel's awesome panel, and Brian's like, oh, it's just whatever, but that's just Brian's a crank. Brandon Routh is coming back to the Arrowverse. He's not only the Atom, but he's going to be coming back as Superman.
Yeah, buddy.
For this, the Crisis on Infinite Earths, right?
Yep. This crossover event, I think, is obviously going to be their best one.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the end of Arrow.
Yeah.
Because it's Arrow's last season.
Yeah.
But Brandon Routh coming back as Superman is a big deal.
Well, there's also other people coming back. You got Linda Carter coming back as Wonder Woman.
That's right.
You have the original Robin coming back.
Burt Ward?
From
I did not hear that. Burt
from
Ward.
Adam, the Adam
Burt
Weed.
Ward.
The Adam Weed.
Holy shit. Burt Ward is, oh my God.
Yeah. You got him coming back?
Oh my God. Okay.
We said the Superman. We said Linda Carter. I think there's someone else coming back too that they announced.
But still, Brandon Routh putting on Superman is kind of a big deal. Like he's already the Atom, so you'll get the joke. Like, aren't you the Atom? Yeah. No, I don't see it.
Not in this universe.
But yeah, but like, because Superman kind of it both made his career and torpedoed it at the same time.
Yeah,
and it wasn't his fault. Like Superman Returns, you can't pin on Brandon Routh.
No,
Brandon Routh did what he was supposed to do, which is a very serviceable Christopher Reeve impersonation. And it was good.
Yeah.
Just the rest of the movie around him was a fucking mess. And another, you know, a minor offense, but, you know, a bigger case for Bryan Singer being in jail. Just saying. It's not the number one charge, obviously, but it's a charge.
Yeah.
Incidentally, so should the Lex Luthor in that movie be in jail, but that's another story. Yeah.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Batman Beyond is getting a Blu-ray release. Yay.
I've been watching clips of it on YouTube over the last couple weeks.
And looks good.
Well, even before the announcement, it's just like, I remember how good this show was.
How has it not been a movie yet? I mean, you heard Kevin Smith's idea, who should be old Batman? Michael goddamn Keaton. That's $1 billion right there.
Yep.
Find someone to play, you know, the young Batman. I forget his name on Batman Beyond.
Terry McGinnis.
Thank you, Terry McGinnis. You find your Terry McGinnis, but you make Michael Keaton the old Batman. Cha-ching!
Yep.
But let's get to the Marvel stuff, because that's really what matters.
Yeah.
Universal, Sony, Warner Brothers all, you know, bounced out of Comic-Con because Marvel was coming, and nobody wanted any part of that, because no matter what news you made, and we'll get to the other news that was made, you were beating Marvel.
No, I mean,
what do you want to talk about first?
God, there's so much to talk about. We could sit there and let's just outline it in terms of they finally announced the Phase 4. They laid out the timeline for the next couple of years for the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously the big one that everyone's kind of talking about is Thor.
Love and Thunder.
Yeah. And we have a female Thor, which...
Not only do we have a female Thor, but who's that female Thor?
Padme.
Natalie, yep. Academy Award winner Natalie Portman's coming back as Jane, but not only is she coming back as Jane, she's going to be female Thor.
That's right. She's getting her own Mjolnir.
Yep, which I don't know what they had, what kind of Jalen Ramsey armored truck they had to pull up to her house to get her to come back, because she did not want to come back for another Thor after Dark World, but she's back and she gets to be a Thor.
Yep.
I mean, it was kind of amazing they got her to come back for Endgame. That was cool.
Yeah.
I did not see that coming.
No. And, you know, I know a lot of people are kind of like torn on it, saying like, oh, why are we introducing a female Thor even though they released a female Thor in the comics?
Because grow up, nerds.
Exactly. So
chicks can do stuff too. We learned Thor how to deal with it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be fun.
It is.
Because they got the same director as
our boy Taika Waititi's coming back. He's now the sole writer on the Ragnarok sequel.
Yeah,
and he's coming back to direct. And we'll get to Taika Waititi later because oh boy. but also part of the other big story to come out of that was Tessa Thompson's character is going to be looking for her queen.
Yep,
that's right. Valkyrie's going to be the first openly LGBTQ+ member of the MCU, which is a big deal.
Yeah.
I'm glad they're using phase four to really flex.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people were sitting there saying, or a couple stories I read, that they kind of teased it, and
they did. It was a cut scene
in Infinity War.
It was why she became a drunk. Well, in Ragnarok, they cut a scene. Showing when damn it, what was Kate Blanchett's character's name? Was the villain?
Hela,
thank you. Like the reason why Valkyrie became a drunk and like left Asgard was because like Hela killed her girlfriend.
Yeah,
but they cut that scene, but you can kind of like, if you know it, you can kind of like squint and it's there.
Well, and it's there too when, because I actually watched Ragnarok before I came over here.
Yeah, you did. I love Ragnarok.
When Loki's like, here, let's see your painful memory and everything, and it shows them going in, and it shows Tessa Thompson's character getting pushed by another Valkyrie. So,
that is right.
You know, it's kind of teased right there that obviously there's some form of connection there.
Right.
So
yeah, but they said they cut the whole thing because, you know, Disney was still like wincing, but now it's like, okay, well, we got to do it. Like, what are we going to do? Bomb? We're not going to bomb.
Exactly.
Or Marvel, goddamn it.
Yeah. We built such a great universe.
Yeah. I mean, it took 20 movies, but finally we're going to get there. Or 20 plus movies, because that's not the next one up.
Yeah.
They also announced for Black Widow that David Harbour, a.k.a. Hopper from Stranger Things, is going to be part of the cast.
Yeah.
As is Rachel Weisz, which, woo!
Yeah, they Marvel definitely came in, especially with the end of Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
Came back in and was like, look, we're still here. We're still going to
Well, Far From Home just crossed $1 billion this week. It's the first Spider-Man to do that, by the way.
You know what? Like, I'll say it now, or I've said it in the past, and I'll say it again. You know, Tom Holland is definitely the best Spider-Man.
Easily. Easily.
Yeah.
But, so you have Black Widow next May, and then in November you have The Eternals, which has Angelina Jolie, Salma Hayek, Camille Nangiani, Richard Madden, a.k.a. Rob Stark. That's a pretty solid cast.
You're telling me it was Salma Hayek?
Yeah. It was cool seeing them show the stage at Comic-Con. Like, it was just bizarre. Like, wow, I've never seen them in the same room before.
You know what was funny, too, that I read? Mm-hmm. I forget what part of the Marvel panel it was, but... Oh, I think it was... They had the Russo brothers up there for something, and you know when you go to
victory lap, victory lap,
pretty much. But like when they had when you go to these panels, they obviously have a line of fans asking questions.
Yeah,
this one panel, I forget again. I have to find out which panel it was, but they had you know Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans.
Oh, okay,
and they had some of the other stars. Asking questions.
Yeah, like, I think it was when they did Infinity War.
Probably no. This is this year.
Oh, was this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, one of the questions I saw was, I think it was Paul Rudd, was like, okay, so who really does have the best ass, between the Chris's? So it was pretty entertaining, the story I read on that.
Okay. Also you have the Doctor Strange sequel, which is going to have, a Scarlet Witch in it.
Yeah.
But, Multiverse of Madness, which is billed as a horror movie,
Marvel's first horror movie.
Which, by the way, now it makes more sense why they hired Scott Derrickson to direct the first Doctor Strange, because he did the Insidious. He did what's the one with Ethan Hawke? Not Insidious, but oh crap!
Describe the movie.
No, there's like a Ethan Hawke. He keeps seeing this ghost in pictures, and eventually manifests itself. God damn it.
Totally sounds like a horror movie.
It is. It was a Blumhouse movie. Hold on a second. Scott Derrickson. It's a one-word title. But anyway, that's going to be a horror movie. Sinister. There we go. Yeah. The Sinister team's coming back for this. It's a horror movie. Scarlet Witch is going to be in it, which is why WandaVision, which is going to be the name of her Disney Plus show, that's why she's getting a show. It's going to lead up to that movie.
The movie, yeah.
And whatever happens in that it's going to all be spelled out in the Disney Plus show.
Yep.
And also the Eternals, Marvel's having their first ASL actor, because she's deaf.
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Not so good. Go Marvel.
Yeah.
You have that. What were some of the other movies they announced for Phase 4? They have the What If animated series, which, fuck yes.
They have that.
Where they get every voice, every actor for Marvel, and it's like a whole bunch of What If scenarios.
Yeah.
Like, it's a comic. I don't know if they're going to do them. They're the ones in the comics, but one of them was like, what if Ben Parker didn't die? Like, stuff like that.
Yeah. Let's see, they announced Black Panther 2.
It's in development. Fantastic Four is in development. X-Men and Captain Marvel 2. X-Men reboot is in development, as is the Captain Marvel 2 in development. It's in development.
Yep.
But as far... I don't want to get this wrong. The Shang-Chi one.
Oh, yeah.
Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
There we go.
With Awkwafina. She's one of the people in it. There's a lot of other people. But the director for that, you don't know this person, but they're really good at what they do. Destin Daniel Cretton. He directed this movie called Short Term 12 a couple years ago. Dumb young cast. Like, they had caught Brie Larson, like, before she broke out. Okay. Diaz from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Rami Malek from Mr. Robot. Lakeith Stanfield, who's on Atlanta, and a bunch of other things. Like, you know who he is.
Yeah.
Like, just a lot of young people are like, wow. Like, they wanted to, like, do things.
Okay.
But it's a really good movie. It's fucking sad. Like, it's super sad, but it's a really good movie. But okay. He's a very good director. So, great pick for that. But that's a flex, doing Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. Good for them.
Yeah, I mean, Marvel, like I said, Marvel came in and definitely showed its guns, saying, hey, we're here.
Yeah, so. And you know what's cool?
And we're not stopping anytime soon.
Well, I'm sure that they left a lot of meat on the bone for D23.
Oh, absolutely. But,
like, this is a huge... they also showed the graphics for the Loki series on Disney+. There's a Hawkeye movie coming to Disney+.
Yeah.
which, that's cool. Like, a lot of Disney+ stuff, because they need to have they need to build the content.
Yeah.
I mean, they're already going to have the library to end all libraries.
Yeah.
But it's like, here's our original shit.
And here's the stuff that's going to lead up to keep Phase 4 alive.
Well, they don't even need to keep Phase 4 alive, because then you just have, like, cool, we have X-Men coming. And their last announcement, which I thought it was a joke, but I was like, oh my God, Mahershala Ali is going to be Blade in the Blade reboot. Yeah, you hear the story about how he got that?
Yeah, he called them saying
he won his second Oscar for Green Book, he called Kevin Feige. He's like, hey man, I want to be Blade. And Kevin Feige's like, okay, sure.
You got it. Let's make this happen.
There's no director yet, but I'm assuming that's coming.
Let's bring vampires to the MCU.
If Marvel's listening, I have two suggestions. One, hire Barry Jenkins to be your director. He directed Moonlight and Beale Street, but Moonlight gets him, like, everything.
Yeah.
He's a huge Marvel guy. He's a Marvel freak. Like, that'd be the heat check of heat checks, is getting a guy of that caliber who already has two Oscars for Best Picture and for Best Original Screenplay to come in and do a Marvel movie. With his color palette, which, you know, we don't talk about that a lot with directors, but, like, you watch his movies, like, you see color.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, saying a lot for Marvel, because most of them don't have it. But that'd be, like, the best possible version they can get for that. But also, my other suggestion is for Whistler, two words, Wesley Snipes. Think about that. Think about Wesley Snipes as in the Whistler role, and Mahershala as Blade.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't even care who the Frost would be, if they're going to use Frost. We're not going to use Morbius, because Jared Leto's already Morbius.
Yeah.
Boo.
You know what? Yeah. Like, plus, it would be kind of cool to see, like,
old
Blade and the new Blade. So.
Mm-hmm. Just make him the Whistler part. That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
I'm sure you won't get Blade Trinity Wesley Snipes. There's a whole Patton Oswalt story about how bad that shoot was. But you saw online. There was a story about how he just hated David Goyer, the director. So he, like, held everyone up late at night after hours. Because he wouldn't open his eyes on camera, so they'd eventually just CGI his eyes in. But yeah, that's pretty great. Like, Marvel owned the weekend after that, and that was on Saturday. So the other news that came out of Comic-Con, well, let's see, hold on, I'm trying to think, there's a couple more Marvel things I wanted to get to, but that was the heat check was, oh, by the way, Blade. We're doing Blade. You're welcome, America. I don't know. They haven't said what the X-Men or Fantastic Four reboots are going to look like, but that's a years away. Captain Marvel 2 and Black Panther 2 are set. But for me, besides Thor Love and Thunder, I'm very excited with the potential for the Doctor Strange sequel. Because if it's going to be a horror movie, yay. But then Doctor Strange and Scarlet Witch joining forces is going to be pretty fun. So I can't wait for all that. But there were a bunch of trailers that came out of Comic-Con as well. That was the first day. We got, let's see, where do you want to start? Actually, before we get to the trailers, I just want to burn through the trailers one by one. During the Terminator Dark Fate panel, they announced, like, it's a movie I'm very ambivalent on because I just think Terminator should stop after Terminator 2.
Yeah.
Like, I'll defend, the last 5 minutes or last 10 minutes of Terminator 3 because it's actually pretty good. Terminator 4, Salvation was an abomination. And then
what are you talking about? It came out with one of the best rants of all time.
Yeah, well, the lighting guy who got in Christian Bale's grill. So
yeah.
Anyway, and then Terminator Genesis is just garbage. Another case for Jai Courtney not being a movie star.
Yeah, poor Emilia Clarke.
No, not poor Emilia Clarke, because she's kind of skated on a couple like at bats not going her way. Like that and Solo were not her fault. And you're like, oh yeah, Emilia Clarke was in that.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry, go, like, poor Emilia Clarke, like, she missed the boat, because now she can just do whatever she wants, and it's like, oh yeah, she wasn't in those.
Yeah.
Or, oh yeah, she was in those. But anyway, they announced Edward Furlong's coming back as John Connor, and god damn it, now I want to see it. I want to support Edward Furlong, because it's been a very lean 20 years.
See, when did T2 come out?
92, that was his first movie. Or 91. Was it 91 or 92? 92.
Yeah.
He does Pecker after that, and then he does a True Rock City.
Yeah.
Hawk. Love Hawk. But then, drugs got the better of him, and he was in like a straight... I remember he was in like a straight to Sci-Fi Channel Starship Troopers sequel, and... He said as recently as last year that like he'd act for money on the Santa Monica Promenade. So
oof.
He said, yeah, he said it's hard for him to get a job.
Yeah,
but James Cameron at the panel said Edward Furlong's coming back. So
I forget the actress's name.
Linda Hamilton.
There we go.
But like Linda Hamilton, like it was one of those like she just wanted to do her own thing. Like,
yeah,
it's not like a. It's not like a, well, thank God they got Lynn Hamilton in the gutter. She was just Lynn Hamilton.
No, but it's cool that
he's producing. He's in his computer lab taking phone calls while he's like editing Avatar 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. And it's like, hey, this is what we're doing for Terminator. Cool.
Yeah.
So I don't know how involved he is, but, you know, like, that's Edward Furlong. Okay, like, I'm here. I'm not even down for like old Arnold anymore because like the sheen came off that pretty quick in Terminator Genesis.
Yeah, I didn't even see.
It was bad. It was bad.
I think I remember seeing.
It was so bad.
Did we go to the theaters to see Salvation?
No, you weren't with me. I went with Grant.
I remember seeing that movie in theaters and kind of walking out, going, "What the."
I mean, you're like, well, I can chuck up Arnold's cameo to being because he couldn't be there for a full day because he was still technically governor.
Yeah.
But Genesis was bad.
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, Edward Furlong coming back is a big deal, at least to me. Like now it has my curiosity. Well, it doesn't have my attention, but not my curiosity.
It should be big to... You know, obviously all the Terminator fans who are still going out and seeing those movies, apparently.
Right? The Halloween movies are coming back in 2020 and 2021 with Halloween Kills and Halloween Ends. So I'm guessing Jamie Lee Curtis is going to die in one of those. Because she's already dead in Halloween H2O, by the
way. Allegedly.
And I think she dies in Halloween Resurrection also. But Laurie Strode will die for a third and final time, and presumably Michael Myers as well, before they reboot him in like 10 years. But the remake was pretty solid. Also, for you people with kids, Disney's DuckTales on Disney Junior. I mean, we don't watch DuckTales in our house because it's above my daughter's pay grade. But they did announce something kind of cool that, like, you know, I wanted to bring up.
Okay.
So the DuckTales. So last year, I guess they introduced Darkwing Duck and Launchpad McQuack.
See, like, I know my son watches it.
You've heard of Darkwing Duck and Launchpad McQuack.
Well, yeah.
They became characters on DuckTales, and they're now bringing in Goof Troop Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers.
Ooh.
Yeah. Like, it's a whole expanded universe of, like, all the really cool cartoons you used to watch back in the day.
Nice.
There was one other one, but like those are the ones I'm like, oh shit, Goof Troop and the Rescue Rangers. Okay.
There we go.
I'm going to have to watch DuckTales without Sophie.
Yeah.
Let's see. Last non-trailer thing I wanted to hit before we get to the trailers and leave Comic-Con. Nope. We can just get to the trailer. So, Jay and Silent Bob reboot. Where are you at? Because I'm nervous.
See, like... when they announced that they were going to do a reboot of it, I was like, really?
Like, well, it's like, that's the joke. It's like, it's making fun of reboots.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm in. Like, I'll go see it.
I'm very apprehensive, because I love Kevin Smith, like, a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I paid to see Tusk in theaters just to watch him speak about Tusk. I don't know if you've seen Tusk.
No.
If you see it once, you're okay. It's fascinating. Red State, I actually think, was pretty good, but... Again, I paid to see that at the Wiltern because he was doing a huge screening and Q&A after, and the Q&As are always worth it.
Yeah.
No matter how bad the movie is. But I didn't see Yoga Hosers, and I had no desire to see Yoga Hosers. And it's free on Netflix, I think. Although, good for Harley Quinn Smith for getting... She's in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which we'll talk about in a little bit.
Yep.
But, you know, It's a tough sled for Kevin Smith, but he's been a better podcaster anyway than he really ever was a director, if I'm being honest. And I love Kevin, and again, I love Kevin Smith, especially the first five movies.
Yeah.
And Clerks 2.
Yep.
Years ago was fine, but like, you know, once you get beyond
that. I think it's going to be interesting with this movie is that they're going to tie in some of those other characters.
Well, that's they did. My first couple of thoughts, though, just how old everyone looked.
Well, yeah.
No, but I mean, like... When they show Brody in the comic book story, you're like, shit, Jason Lee? Whoa.
Well, you gotta figure out how many years this is after. Like,
but even been, still, but... like, but there's been, like, Jason Lee stops in between, like, My Name is Earl.
Yeah.
Like, he was supposed to look, like, trashy on My Name is Earl, but now you're like, oh my god. But, like, Jay just sounds really, like, really old. Like, I get that's part of the thing, but, like, you know, it just seems off, right? Like, I'm not expecting it to be 2001 again, and it's, you know, Jay and Bob. Like, as they were then, but at the same time, like, now he has a kid with Justice, it might not even be his kid, which, by the way, can you get them checked, Shannon Elizabeth?
I know, right?
I support that.
Yeah.
By the way, do you know what she did when she retired from acting?
No.
She became a poker player.
Really?
Uh-huh. And a damn good one, apparently.
Wow.
I know. I learned that on the rewatchables of American Pie. Apparently that's what she dropped out of acting to do.
Right,
and
her.
Apparently it's worked. But anyway, so she's back. There's a lot of cameos. Like, Craig Robinson shows up because he was in Zack and Miri. Underrated, yeah. Jim. Justin Long shows up because it's, again, another Zack and Miri cameo. Fred Armisen shows up. Joe Manganiello, right? He was a cameo in it.
I think so, yeah.
There's a couple other people. It's going to be like Jay and Bob Strike Back, which I love Jay and Bob Strike Back. It's so goddamn quotable.
You got
But... Ben obviously Affleck and Damon show up, but they're part of the family. So
Bateman and
that's right. And, Jason Bateman's in it.
The other guy who played
oh, you Jay. Mean Biggs and Vanderbeek?
There we go.
Yeah, they show. Well, obviously they have to show up as and
Cry. Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong. I love Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, but this just like there's we've been burnt by too many bad comedy sequels that have come like way after, like Dumb and Dumber 2 and.
Yeah.
Bad Santa 2. Like, ones you're just like, oh, geez. Like, it doesn't obviously ruin the first one because the first one's always going to exist, but.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to do comedy sequels in general.
Yeah.
How many, like, think of how many good ones you can think of. That the list is basically Austin Powers 2, Wayne's World 2 if you're being charitable. Yeah. Like, what's, like, you know what I mean? Like, what, like, how many good comedy sequels can you think of, especially ones where there's that big of a gap?
Good question.
The gap is where it gets hard.
Yeah.
Because it's not, you're not, obviously you're not the same person, and obviously it's going to be a little bit about parenting and stuff, but at the same time, like, you know, like, look how bad Zoolander 2 turned out.
I didn't even see that one.
I think I watched it drunk because it was on Cinemax, and it's like, I couldn't do it. It was atrocious.
Yeah.
The big trailers, the two other big trailers that aired on the first day of Comic-Con, It Chapter 2, which, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently it's a very hard R, and I'm in. I was already in before, but like...
I know, just seeing the trailer drop and everything, and seeing... you know, obviously the kids growing up and the, uh-huh. you know, the...
But the Hall of Mirrors thing, like, oh my God.
I know, that just...
Like, I'm hoping Muschietti gets the Flash after that, because, whew.
Yeah.
Then they dropped the trailer for Top Gun Maverick. I will say this. I give Tom Cruise credit. He's made people forget the fact that at 57, there's no way in hell the Navy would let you keep flying jets, no matter who you are and no matter how big your need for speed is. And obviously, there's no way Miles Teller is not playing Goose's son. There's no way that doesn't goddamn happen.
Call it now.
come on. It has to be that.
Yeah.
That has to be the plot of your movie. But good for Cruise for flying jets, doing his own stunts, being insured by shady underwriters overseas. I don't know who's underwriting his insurance, but it sure as shit ain't the studio or the country of the United States.
Scientology.
Well, we don't. They'll sue you.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Do you want to get sued?
Their legal team is dangerous. Don't do it.
Yeah.
This wasn't a Comic-Con trailer, but it's worth mentioning because this melted the internet on Thursday because people were just baffled. I knew this movie was coming. It's a musical I fucking hate. It's terrible.
Oh,
but it was worth it. It's worth it for Chris's monologue in Team America for why he hates actors. That's the only reason for Cat's existence is for Chris to monologue to Gary about cats. But Tom Hooper, who I've had a vendetta against ever since he beat David Fincher for Best Director at the Oscars, because of sure, King's Speech is a better directed movie than The Social Network. Good job. But he did, I will say, the John Adams miniseries he did on HBO is good, and also The Damned United is the best soccer movie you'll ever see.
Yeah.
However, his run after that has been pretty rough. The Les Mis live action was okay. Sure, got Hathaway her Oscar.
Yeah.
But it also gave you Russell Crowe singing. Woo!
Yeah.
Which, the only thing worth it for that is it was one of my favorite Stefan jokes. Or if you love Russell Crowe and Les Mis, you'll love Jasper the Gorilla passing a kidney stone. Jesus Christ, did that movie love close-ups?
Yeah.
Woof.
Yeah, it did.
The Danish Girl, not a good movie, and I don't know how Alicia Vikander won her supporting actor, Oscar for that, but that's another story. But now he's doing a very big budget adaptation of Cats.
I know my aunt's going
to
see it.
This might be the last Judi Dench movie we'll ever get to see. T. Swift is in it. Jason Derulo.
Of course she is.
Jason Derulo, Idris Elba, a whole bunch of people. Oh my God.
Yeah.
And what bums me out is I know this is coming. It'll be up for like 10 Oscars and make like $800 million.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's coming out around Christmas. If The Greatest Showman could be a huge hit with no name recognition except for Hugh Jackman.
Yeah. That was your pie.
Here's your pie. Hugh Jackman. And that could make like $1 billion, which it did. And I think the soundtrack might have won a Grammy. I'm not sure.
Probably.
Actually, no, it did. It's his Grammy. All he needs is the Oscar. He's got the EGOT. Fun fact. I know. It's going to make a shitload of money, and then Tom Hooper's probably going to direct the live-action version of Spider-Man, Turn Off the Dark. Which, if you don't know, was the infamous Spider-Man musical that got shut down because people kept fucking dying. Remember that?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Les Mis was a heat check by Tom Hooper. Cats is Tom Hooper's I'm Keith Hernandez. If you know your Seinfeld, I don't know what this next thing would be. Jesus Christ. And he sucks.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you haven't seen the Cats trailer, oh, no, do. Because you're just like, this is real? Like, my wife loves Taylor Swift, but she's like, I'm not saying this. I'm like, what? You're not? She's like, no. I'm like, is this a real movie? Yep. It's real. Anyway, on to stuff we like. Other trailers that dropped. Tom Hanks' It's a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. It's one of the, like... It's one of those, you just like... He doesn't look like Mr. Rogers, but damn it if he doesn't embody the spirit of Mr. Rogers. He does not look like Mr. Rogers.
No, but I did see a post that his son Colin Hanks
was him on Drunk History.
Yeah, or he's like this this face aging half sucks, and he's got a picture of him as Mr. Rogers and obviously his dad is Mr. Rogers.
But
I'm like,
no,
that's great.
I'm gonna be really mad if Tom Hanks is not up for this because he hasn't been nominated since Castaway.
Really,
despite having Murder of Perdition, Catch Me If You Can, Captain Goddamn Phillips, Saving Mr. Banks, Claude Atlas. Bunch of movies you could have been like, eh.
Really? That's, I would have thought that he...
Nope. Has not been nominated since Castaway.
Wow. I did not know that.
Yeah. It's very weird. But if this doesn't do it, it's not happening anymore. Because I watch, because like, I got the feels during this. Because you see him get
it's a two-minute trailer. And...
A two-and-a-half-minute trailer. And like you just see him coming down to the Won't You Be Mine.
Yeah.
Or even on the subway when like everyone sings a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. And he's just like, that's wonderful. Like, oh, he, yeah. Like, oh, that's great.
Seriously. Like, I have goosebumps right
he,
now.
Me too. He doesn't need to, cause he doesn't need to look or sound like Mr. Rogers. It's not like one of the, it's not like Christian Bale doing Dick Cheney where he's in the makeup and he's like, oh, wow, he looks like Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
He embodies the spirit of him, and it works.
Yeah.
And Matthew Reese looks good, too. It's like the disillusioned journalist who gets taken in by the kindness of Mr. Rogers.
Yep.
Because I don't know if you've seen it's on HBO, but the documentary that came out last year, Won't You Be My Neighbor?
No, I gotta watch that.
Oh, my God. When they show the footage of him, like, testifying before Congress why PBS should get money, it made Mondo cry.
Wow.
And it's a hard bastard.
Yeah.
That's a salty bastard. That's like an alkaline underground mine level of salty.
Yep.
And I told him, like, dude, this broke me. I'm sorry. And he, like, a week later, he watches, like, oh, God damn it. Like, because it's hard to believe that someone was that inherently good. And yet, God damn it, he was.
Yeah.
But, so Tom Hanks, this looks like a slam dunk. It's dropping at, I believe it's premiering at the Toronto Film Festival. But it's directed by, hold on, what's her name? Because I know she's also married to one of the guys in The Lonely Island. Hold on, what's her name, though? I want to get her name right.
Right.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, her name, Monica Wright.
Yeah.
Where are you? Oh, here we go. Yeah. Oh, Marielle Heller. There we go. I'm really hoping this is awesome. And I can't wait to see it. It comes out around Thanksgiving. Also, okay. The Irishman, Martin Scorsese's Netflix movie with De Niro, Pesci, and Pacino.
Very expensive one.
Very expensive. But at least $150 million that we know about.
Yeah.
To DH, Pesci, De Niro, and Pacino. The Irishman comes out November 27th. Let's see. Then Taika Waititi's Jojo Rabbit trailer dropped. That's also premiering at the Toronto International Film Festival next month.
Yeah, I haven't heard of this movie until you told me, like, hey, watch the trailer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. Alrighty then.
It's based on a book. The kid, it's about the Jojo Rabbit's the name of the kid. He's a member of the Hitler Youth in World War II, obviously. His mom, played by Scarlett Johansson, is secretly harboring a Jew in her home. And the kid's very, it's about the kid being very conflicted about it.
Yep.
And Taika Waititi plays his imaginary friend named Adolf Hitler. Like, it's a satire about like hate and all that stuff. And look, Taika Waititi's our boy. Yeah. Like, if Taika Waititi ever wanted to slum it, he can come on the show, and I would just like let him take the mic.
Yep,
like
absolutely.
And you're someone who's only seen Thor Ragnarok and What We Do in the Shadows TV show.
Yeah.
Like, if you see Hunt for the Wilder People or the movie version of What We Do in the Shadows, you're like, okay, yeah, like give this guy a little money.
Yeah. Which are now on my viewing list, my ever-growing viewing list.
I know. And also, I know, right? Well, you're getting there. You're doing pretty good. You've had a pretty productive summer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you've really chipped away a lot of stuff.
Seriously.
But yeah, Taika Waititi is someone, like, I would just give anything to. And I understand why he canceled it, but he also had a stop-motion movie coming out with Netflix, I think, in the next year or so, about Neverland Ranch as seen through the eyes of Bubbles the Chimp.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, they got canceled after the Leaving Neverland documentary.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, yeah, we can't do this. But still, like, yeah, he's somebody who, I mean, I don't know if you saw when they showed Mahershala Ali coming to the stage at Comic-Con for Blade. They showed Taika Waititi's face, and it was just perfect.
Oh, no, I didn't see it.
And you look it up. It's so funny, because you see him, because he's got, you can tell who he is, because of the Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah.
He's just like... It's like, oh my God.
Totally geeking out.
Because, like, Blade's a big part of What We Do in the Shadows, both the show and the movie. And, you know, like, but he's really cool. He's like somebody I'm really glad is succeeding.
Yeah.
So, Jojo Rabbit, look, that's a heat check. And I'm really glad he's getting, and I've heard from, like, the people on the street that it's a real big crowd pleaser at the very least.
Okay.
So, that's definitely on my radar. And then the Toronto International Film Fest announced the rest of their lineup. Some of the movies that are debuting, like I said, Jojo Rabbit's debuting. I think Ford vs. Ferrari isn't debuting, but it's going to screen there.
Okay.
which, you know, I've talked to you about that one.
Yeah.
You and your dad will love that movie.
Yeah.
But the other one that is coming, it's My Name is Dolomite. It's Netflix. It's a Netflix movie. It's about a comedian in the 70s. It stars Eddie Murphy. You've got Keegan-Michael Key, Wesley Snipes, and a whole bunch of other people are in it.
Okay.
Key was on Bill Simmons' podcast talking about that last year, about filming it with Eddie Murphy and how cool that was. And I didn't realize, like, I kind of forgot about it. It's made by the guy who did Hustle and Flow and Black Snake Moan, Craig Brewer.
Okay.
Like, they showed a still from him, like, holy shit, I'm in. Yeah. Like, it's, I forget the name of the comedian Eddie Murphy's playing. But yeah, it looks like it's, if it's going to screen there, I imagine Netflix has to think there's something there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then Eddie also announced that, Eddie Murphy announced this week that he's going to be coming back to doing some stand-up for Netflix.
Jeez.
For $70 million.
Oh, and it was like, what, 3 years, right?
What?
How many?
No!
How many years?
When the hell was Raw? It was like 88 or something like that.
No. Like, the deal they signed for Netflix.
I think it was a 2-year deal.
Jeez.
But, like, for Eddie Murphy to come back to doing stand-up after a 30-year-ish layoff.
Yeah.
And that's a risk, because Eddie Murphy's sort of been cloistered off from the rest of the world for a very long time. So yeah. I don't know what kind of material, because there's two versions of the way this can go. Adam Sandler, who I didn't think anything of 100% fresh when it was announced. I'm like, oh no. But it ended up being incredible and a very heartfelt experience.
Yeah.
Or it could be Chris Tucker's return to stand-up, which was just like, I need the money. Yeah. You know, and there's other ones in between. Like, Ellen had like an over 20-year layoff, but her special was pretty good. Chris Rock had a 10-year layoff between No Apologies and The Tambourine, and it was very good. So I don't know. It's the biggest creative challenge Eddie Murphy's had since fucking Bowfinger.
Yeah,
which is 20 years. I know. Yeah. So, I don't know. I want it to be good. Mondo and I had a very long conversation about this, because, you know, Chappelle had a long layoff, and when we saw him at the Funny or Die Fest, it was bad. It was him just figuring it out, but then you see the three specials that aired, you're like, oh, okay. He's back.
Maybe he's going to sit.
I know, but like,
follow the same formula.
From what I've heard, is Eddie Murphy's episode of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee was bad, because you can't relate to anybody anymore.
Oh,
and look, Raw and Delirious have not aged well in a lot of ways. A lot of ways. Yeah. But they were funny. The parts that were funny are still funny. And then the other parts, you just kind of have to cringe and like wince through.
Yeah.
Like the gay stuff has not aged well.
Oof.
It's not aged well. The Cosby stuff, incidentally, has aged very well. Yeah. So we'll look out for that. So we're going to skip what's good. Unless you have anything. You have anything you want to quickly just...
Detective Pikachu came out.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have to rent that.
Yeah, definitely a good movie.
Okay. Alright, I got nothing, because I've just been working on the list we've got coming up next. I haven't watched anything new, except I've been watching a shitload of Hey Arnold lately.
Well, that, and I finally started Stranger Things. I think I mentioned that last
week. Oh, yeah, where were you at on that?
We finished season 2, and now we got to start season 3.
Oh my god, season 3 is great. Maya Hawke, dude. Like, you'll know her, the one I said was Uma Thurman, Ethan Hawke's daughter.
Yeah.
You'll know her when you see her, and she's the best.
Okay.
MVP of the whole season for me.
Okay.
Although, Eleven and, what's her face, Max?
Yeah.
They're awesome. They're a good team. Okay. Like, there's a lot of really fun pairings.
Okay.
But we'll talk about Stranger Things Season 3 next week, if you'll be done with it, because then Brian wanted to talk about it, too.
Okay.
I haven't gotten to share my thoughts on it. Just that I fucking love Maya Hawke.
I'm going to hopefully try and start it this weekend.
It's only 8 episodes, and like, did you skip the one on the second and last one on 2, or did you muscle through it?
No, we muscled through it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where's your medal?
It's hanging. It's hanging right now.
You understood what I meant, right?
Yep.
Or what Allie and I meant. Sort of, yeah. Hey, man, you can skip that. It's fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, our list this week, in honor of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood coming out, the 9th film, or 10th if you're going to count Kill Bill as 2 movies, but I've seen the whole Bloody Affair, so I've seen it as 1 movie.
Yep.
Yeah. We're just, instead of ranking the best Tarantino movies, because they're only fucking 8.
Yeah.
Like, where's the fun in that? I decided we're going to do the best performances in a Tarantino movie. And I thought, oh, okay, this is going to be fine. Like,
let's clarify. Tarantino that he directed.
Wrote and directed.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, because he hasn't directed anything he hasn't written.
Exactly.
Except for CSI and ER.
Yeah.
And Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Yep.
But anyway, I thought, okay, this isn't going to be so bad. And then, like, I was, like, up at night. This was hard. What the hell am I going to do?
This was, I think, the hardest list we've done so far.
I know. Except for Brian. He's like, oh, I'm too cool for this. Like, whatever. Here's my list. I'm just going to mail it in.
Yeah. Because he thinks he's all cool. Because he's a stupid Eagles fan.
I know. He was really intrigued by next week's list, which I'll tell you about in a minute.
Oh, no. Yeah. He told me earlier.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Oh, I'm so down.
Yeah. He'll like the one 2 weeks from now, too. Okay. I'm scheduling this motherfucker.
Hey,
anyway, I'm all down. So we decided to do the best performances in a Tarantino movie. And you think, okay, that's easy. It's going to be like, you know, Travolta and stuff. Not that easy, because you're like, wow, this person's actually really good in this. Like, well, they're only in for a scene, but goddamn, what a scene.
Yeah.
You know, so I figure let's start this out. What was your honorable mention?
Well, like I said before we started the show, my honorable mention's going to not follow the guidelines.
I'm listening.
It's Selma Hayek and From Dusk Till Dawn.
That's so cheating. Fine, I'll let you have the cheat.
Yep.
I'll let you have it because I know you wanted to do it.
Yep.
He wrote it, did not direct it. Robert Rodriguez directed it for the record, but Tarantino was also co-starring in it, so fine.
Yep.
I'll be nice and let you have it.
That's right, you better.
Okay.
But yeah, that scene in general is infamous in my side of the family.
Sure. I get it.
It's the scene where she comes out and starts dancing with the snake.
Uh-huh.
That was on one night. My dad's cooking ribs.
That's like the best six actual performances.
Yep.
Go, it's fine.
But, you know, he's sitting there cooking ribs.
No, I knew that was going to be it too, but I'm like, no, wait, maybe it's like something that's weird. Like,
no, come on. You know me.
I know.
And so anyway, the scene comes on and he's cooking ribs. Well, needless to say, he gets distracted by the scene.
Who wouldn't?
And he ended up burning the ribs and we had to order pizza. So, like,
hey, you know, hell of a scene.
It's a family,
hell of a vampire movie. Hell of a vampire movie.
Exactly.
Well, that wasn't on ours because we played by the rules. Brian's honorable mention.
Rules are meant to be broken.
Brian's honorable mention, and also it was his Mondo's number 3, was Leo DiCaprio in Django.
Okay.
It almost made my list. Almost. But I'm like, I had to draw the line because I already had a Django one that I liked better. Leo was great in Django. Don't get me wrong.
See, and I haven't seen Django, so.
You've never seen Django?
No.
What the fuck?
Just never got around to seeing it.
Take it home with you. I have it on my shelf. Take it.
You take it, Barry.
God damn it. All right, well, Leo's pretty good in it. Like, what's really fun about Calvin Candy, like, he's obviously a really bad guy because he's a plantation owner.
Yeah.
But it's really funny, like, you forget, because they tell you up front, like, oh, he's a real Francophile. And Christoph Waltz is like, oh, and he starts speaking French. He goes, oh, and this guy's like, no, don't speak French. It'll only embarrass him. Because like, you realize this guy is, like, the early version of the guy, like, the kid who, like, grew up with money and is a total, like, ne'er-do-well and a total loser. But because he has so much money, no one will ever call him on it.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a moron. But he's, like, an overly confident moron.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a great performance. And when he breaks a bottle at one point, like, and he actually cut his hand.
Yeah, I remember that story.
Yeah, so it almost made my list, but, like, I had to draw the line.
Yeah.
It was tough.
I remember when that story broke, like, oh, he actually cut his hand.
And you could see it, too.
Yeah.
Watch you go, okay, there it is.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And they're like, no, just keep rolling.
Yeah, and because...
Stay in character.
Yeah, say what you want about Leo, but, like, he really does commit, and he does commit to this character.
Yeah.
Calvin Candy's a lot of fun, I will say. He's a terrible person, but he's a lot of fun, and I do give Leo credit for modeling the three roles he do. It was Django, Gatsby, and Wolf of Wall Street. As this, like, tale of, like, capitals in America, like, through those three characters, and it actually works. But, anyway, that was Mondo's 3, Brian's honorable mention. My honorable mention was Brad Pitt as Lieutenant Aldo Rain in Inglourious Basterds. That's Mondo's 4th, and let me see, I think it made Brian's list, too. That was his honorable mention. I'm sorry, he changed it from Leo, but whatever, we gotta talk about Leo.
That was my...
Which one?
Number one.
Lady number one? Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I love Aldo Rain. Oh, one second. I love Aldo Rain's performance because it's the first movie star performance. I'll get it. First movie star performance ever in a Tarantino movie because he always caught everybody when they're either past their prime or before their prime.
Okay.
Like Samuel L. Jackson and Travolta are the two examples of that.
Yeah.
Because like Travolta was not a movie star and I was Sam Jackson. But, like, this is the first time he even said it. This is the first time I ever got a movie star to do this that wasn't doing it as a favor. Because, like, even De Niro and Jackie Brown is, like, post-movie star De Niro.
Yeah.
By the way, if you have Showtime, watch Jackie Brown.
Haven't seen Jackie Brown, but I gotta watch it. It's so good.
Allie hated it because she's like, what this is about? I'm like, I promise you, it'll come together.
Yeah.
A lot of good performances there. But, yeah, Brad Pitt, he's batting 1,000 in that whole thing. Just his pronunciation is like, you ever want another sauerkraut sandwich again? Like, all the little things are like when he's just busting...
Gorlami.
When he's busting Waltz's balls and it's like... And Waltz is like, apparently we're not on the same... Operating on the same level of mutual respect. No, we are not. So, yeah, that's my pick. You can talk about Brad Pitt for a little bit. I'll be right back.
Yeah, I mean, just overall, between him and Waltz and that movie is just great. I love his, you really get a good feel for his character at the beginning of the movie where he's like, this is what I want. I want my German scalps. And when he's sitting there trying to get the information from the captured soldiers and everything, and he's just, Brad Pitt's character in it is just absolutely great. And again, toward the end of the movie where they're at the theater trying to get Hitler and everything is just absolutely great. So, now since we're kind of moving on from, I think we're on like pick five, my number five pick, it was, John Travolta in Pulp Fiction. Again, just another great performance. You got John Travolta coming in as like a loyal soldier and, you
know, so fun story about, like, you know how Tarantino got Brad Pitt to do that movie?
No.
They went to Brad Pitt's vineyard that he and Jolie owned at the time, and they got drunk. They did several bottles of Brad Pitt's Pink Floyd wine. I think it was a rosé. It was a Pink Floyd rosé. And he actually convinced him to do it, because originally Pitt's like, no, I don't want to. Like, this is, I don't know, man.
Yeah, that's one way to get someone to do it.
But yeah, like I said, it was the first actual movie star he had while he was a movie star in his movie.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was a big deal.
Yeah. It's true.
And look where it's led. I mean, you haven't seen Django, but it got Jamie Foxx, Leo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. I won't ruin who else is in Hateful Eight, because I know you haven't seen that yet, but...
Hateful Eight, yeah, I have.
Have you?
Kurt Russell, Samuel Jackson's in it.
Okay.
Where they show up at the
cabin. Oh, I thought you said you hadn't seen it.
No, I just haven't seen Django Unchained.
Oh. Because you got Channing Tatum.
Yeah.
Apparently Jennifer Lawrence was supposed to be the Jennifer Jason Leigh part.
Yeah, and by the way, I didn't know that was her until after reading that was her, and I'm like, Jesus.
That's your girl.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High, baby.
Yep. Real quick, I forgot to mention one other movie I'm excited for. There's no trailer for it yet, but it's coming out of Toronto. It's called Uncut Gems. Okay. With Adam Sandler.
The Adam Sandler?
It's the Safdie brothers who made this movie. I defend Robert Pattinson in as Batman for good. It's called Good Time. It's on Amazon. Look, it's look. It's bad, but I'm like, okay, well, if we're going to get this Robert Pattinson, it's going to be... Well, but I'll scuttle along. I'll just say, if you can find good time, watch it. You're like, okay. But those filmmakers are good, and I want to see what they do with Sandler. That's all. So, anyway.
That's at the bottom of the list.
What was your fifth pick?
My fifth pick was John Travolta in Pulp Fiction.
You know, I wanted to put him on here, but... Because I watched Pulp over the weekend. And look, I love... You know how much I love Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
As any white film nerd does, but I'm watching because I'm like, oh yeah, Travolta, but I'm like, you watch it again, like it's a good performance. He definitely deserved to be nominated for it. But I will say his accent is kind of weird, and you're like, well, maybe it's because he's like high as shit half the time, like his character is supposed to be. But like, it like toggles in and out enough where I'm like, well, it's a very good performance, but I wouldn't put it. It wouldn't put it top five. It's very iconic, and that like that suit and that look really does a lot for it.
Well, and I think that's where I kind of placed him on that list is because of that.
Okay. But the other thing
plus that dance off with
the dance off is iconic.
Yeah.
Two. Just the whole first date he has with first date he has with Uma Thurman, or they're just like, you know, hanging out over dinner, and you're like, oh, like these feel them connect,
yeah,
and it works. By the way, he taught her all the dance moves.
Oh, did he really?
Mm-hmm. Because apparently he won like a twist contest when he was 8. I mean, he did a dancer forever, but you know what I mean, like,
yeah,
it's like, oh, well, that's cool. Like when they're off camera, like, and then Tarantino just shout out like dances he wanted to do, like the hitchhiker, the Batman,
yeah.
Also, like, he just, he, like, taught her all that, so that you could just flow into it. I'm trying to think if Travolta shows up on anyone's list or not, if Mondo and Brian's list, so I can shout them out too. Hold on. But yeah, like Travolta, he was a near cut for me. I'm like, I want to, but for me, it isn't top shelf because there were just other ones that I liked a lot better.
Okay.
But it's still very good.
Yeah.
And even when he knows that, like, or when Samuel L. Jackson's leaving him, you know, essentially, he wants to get out of life. Like, their conversation at the diner is pretty cool. And it's a good performance, but for me, it isn't, like, truly great.
Yeah.
My number five was Harvey Keitel in Pulp Fiction as Winston Wolfe.
Okay.
He doesn't get much screen time, but Winston Wolfe, it's one of those characters that you immediately get him. He's very iconic.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, Toluca Lake is 30 minutes away. I can be there in 10. And he's there in like 9 minutes, 38 seconds. You know, it's like a perfect Harvey Keitel part. Like, the way he speaks, so even the way you see him write in his notes is pretty cool. And just, like, when Travolta gives him shit, like, he doesn't get mad, but, like, you can tell, like, he would have.
Yeah.
It's a very iconic performance. And, like, you know, when he cares about his Acura. And just the way he talks, it's just it's an amazing character. And you don't get much, you don't know of anything about him, you just know he's the man.
Exactly.
It's one of those, like, it's like one of the best off-the-bench performances I've ever seen.
Okay.
Let's see, hold on. Mondo's number five was Uma Thurman in Pulp Fiction. And then, I'll shout her out in a second. And then Brian's fifth was Bruce Willis in Pulp Fiction. So we're going to just talk about them for a minute. So Uma Thurman, she was up for this, and she's very good in it.
Yeah.
Like, very no-nonsense. She was very...
Which movie I wanted to put her
in. Uma's coming on my list later.
Yeah, same here.
But anyway, like, her Mia Wallace is a really fun character because, you know, she, like, she busts Travolta's balls the entire time. Yeah. She just wants to, but, like, she's really fun, and even when she does the heroin at the end, you're like, oh, man.
Yeah.
But no, it's a very good performance, and, like, with their scene together, just at the booth, and it's like, you know what, like, you know, you found someone special you can enjoy in a comfortable silence.
Yeah.
That whole thing is, it's a great character.
Yeah.
And then Bruce Willis, I just want to shout out, like, he had a couple bombs before this, and, like, but so this was a big deal for him.
Yeah.
Because, like, between Die Hard and Pulp Fiction, it's kind of, it was rough. Like, he had Look Who's Talking movies.
Oh,
the voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's Mikey.
Yeah.
But other than that, he had a couple, like, major bombs, and then this kind of brought it back, but he's actually very good in it, too. Like, the scene where he, like, when, you know, they're in the basement of the pawn shop, but he realizes he can't leave Ving Rhames down there.
Yeah.
It's actually very good on him. And then him trying to, like, he's a dick, but, like, he's still trying to just, like, not be, like, a total dick. After he throws the TV, he's like, you know what? You're right. I didn't stress the importance of the watch. And he gets in the car, and he does, like, what everybody does. God damn it, of all the things!
Yeah.
Like, it's a very good performance in its own right.
Yeah.
What's your number four?
My number four was actually Kurt Russell in Hateful Eight.
Ooh, yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Because it was one of those I wavered on, too. And him in Death Proof is good, too.
Yeah, well, see, that's...
I know.
I liked him in both roles, but I'm like, you know what?
Well, what he does... What I like about John Ruth is he's supposed to be the John Wayne of the movie.
Yeah.
But his John Wayne's a total bully and a total asshole. And, like, you're glad when he dies.
Exactly.
Spoiler alert. Like, you're glad. You're like, you know what? Like,
I'll say, is this spoiler alert at this point?
But it's been almost 4 years. But,
yeah.
You know, it's only on Netflix, so you can stream it anytime you want to.
Exactly.
But, you know, he's a total dick.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're like, well, Daisy might have murdered people, but, like, fuck this guy.
Yeah. I mean, it was great. Like, a lot of laughable moments.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, nailed it in terms of he's supposed to be, like, the badass John Wayne, but mm-hmm. in reality he's just this piece of shit bounty hunter.
Mm-hmm. He somehow, like, it's like he thinks he's better because he, like, no, I take it to the hangman because I'll never cheat the hangman.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you're there when they die? Oh, yeah. Like, somehow it's better than, like, oh, well, it's better than taking him in dead. It's like, is it? It's like the same thing. Like,
yeah.
Who the hell are you?
Exactly.
Also, a very awesome beard.
Seriously, like...
Facial hair is strong. Brian's number four was Harvey Keitel as Mr. White in Reservoir Dogs. Solid pick.
Yeah.
Because he's very vulnerable from the onset, like, when Orange is in the back dying, he's like, oh, he's like the only person who's, like, willing to open himself up, and then when he realizes how wrong he was, because Orange is the cop.
Yeah.
And he realizes, oh my god, I killed my best friend's son, and I would not listen when they said that this kid might be a cop. And he has to, like, when the cops show up and, like, he's, like, crying because he just realized what a mistake he made. So he kills Orange and they shoot him dead.
Yeah.
Like, good performance. Let's see. Mondo's number four. It was Brad Pitt and Glorious Bastards. Okay, we covered that.
Yeah.
You can skip his three as well because he picked Leo. My number four was Samuel Jackson in Django Unchained. Now, Samuel Jackson, I could have made an entire starting five of that.
Yeah.
But, my lord, like, him and Django, and you'll see it. He plays Steven. He's the head butler at Candyland Ranch, or Candyland Plantation.
Okay.
It's probably the best performance Samuel Jackson's ever given. Because okay. He does a lot of different things at once. He does, like, a stereotypical, like, how you'd see a house slave in, say, like, Gone with the Wind. But, like, you know, like, very, like, Masta, like, a lot of that.
Yeah.
But he's also very calculating and very conniving and evil. Right. And you see it. Like, when he's figuring out, like, the whole, like, Django and Schultz's ruse. And you're like, oh, shit. And then, like, there's a couple other reveals. But, like, he's, like, really, like, a master, like, the mastermind keeping that whole house running. But he's, like, very, also, like, very pleasant. But then he gets very evil.
Okay.
Like, it's incredible.
Yeah, I've been wanting to see it.
You're leaving my house with a copy of Django.
Well, it, yeah.
I'll make that your homework, because it's not streaming anywhere.
Oh, I was going to see if it was.
It's not. Because I was trying to watch it, and I'm like, I'll put it on later. That's one of my Samuel Jackson performances on here, because, like, it's so good.
Let's see.
What's your number three?
Mine is actually Samuel Jackson in Pulp Fiction.
That's my number three as well. You go first. That's Mondo's number one. And okay. I think it's Brian's.
I mean, all you can really say about his performance is that in that.
It made his career. Yeah. And that's Brian's number one, too.
Exactly. And it's just, again, the movie, Pulp Fiction itself, so many quotable movie. And then just that scene where he's.
Which one?
Where he's in the apartment.
Oh, Ezekiel 25:17?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's on a ton of movie posters all throughout, a ton of walls throughout the country.
Exactly.
But even later, because, like, I got to watch
the ending diner scene.
Bingo. When it's like, when he's examining what that actually means, and he's like, no, actually, I'm the tyranny of evil men, and you're the weak.
Yeah.
But I'm trying. And he's the only character that grows in that movie.
Absolutely.
He's the only one ever that sees the light and figures it out. And, you know, he's really fun. He's like, what do they call a Big Mac in France? Well, it's a Big Mac's a Big Mac. So it's like, oh, the Big Mac. Yeah. Like, he's just really fun. But then, like, when he turns it on, like, that made his career.
Yeah.
Because before that, he's, like, been in a handful of stuff. Like, he's been Coming to America and Goodfellas and whatnot. But that made his career. He should have won the Oscar for it. Look, Martin Landau was amazing in Ed Wood. I love that movie. But it should have been Sam Jackson's Oscar.
Yeah.
But it's okay, because Sam Jackson's the highest grossing actor of all time, so I think we're okay. But no, it's a very good performance. Very star-making performance, iconic. The Jerry Curl fro.
Yeah.
Or just him trying to just, like, negotiate shit with Jimmy in the house.
Or, what's it, the car ride?
Yes. Yeah.
What the?
Yeah. Where they kill Marvin.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's, like, the most iconic performance out of the whole movie.
Yeah.
Let's see, what's your number two, then?
My number two is Uma Thurman and
Kill Bill. Ding, it's mine as well. Go ahead, why is that yours?
I mean, starting off in terms of, okay, well, first off, did you say Uma Thurman and just Kill Bill, or?
Yeah, that's mine, that was mine, Bride, Beatrix Kiddo.
Well, I'm just making sure it wasn't, like, Kill Bill and Kill Bill 2.
Same, it's one movie.
Okay, so.
It's one movie. Yeah. I've seen it as one movie, and it's a lot better as one movie, and I love Kill Bill a lot, but
exactly.
The whole Bloody Affair, like, if they ever put that on like, DVD or streaming, they need to, because it works so much better.
Yeah. I mean, starting off, you know, starting off Kill Bill, where you got her escaping the hospital.
Well, that's not even where she starts, remember? She shows up at Bernita Green's house first.
Oh, yeah, okay, well.
That's also Brian's number three.
Okay, but the start of her story really is ending up in the pussy wagon and wiggle your big toe.
It's the only movie where one character has really carried the entire thing, because they're all very ensemble-based.
Yeah.
Like, even Jackie Brown, as good as Pam Grier is in it, there's a whole bunch of other really good performances in it. Whereas, and it doesn't entirely rest on her.
Exactly.
Whereas this, you need to care about the bride, and she does everything. You believe Uma Thurman can fight with a samurai sword.
Yep.
And you believe she can take on the crazy 88. You believe she can punch her way out of a coffin
and jump climb her way out of the.
But like when she wakes up in the hospital and she looks for her baby and she's not there and you feel it and she's like grieving, but then she has to immediately like go back comatose because Buck's back in the room.
Yeah.
And then you have to, but you also you have to believe because like in volume 2 when they show the whole massacre at the chapel.
Yeah.
Like you're like, why would anybody be attracted to Dave Carradine? He's, you know, considerably older than her.
Yeah.
But you believe it, and you believe she, like, really didn't want to leave, but she knew she had to, and you know why, because as a kid, then when she finds out that BB's still alive, it's like, she's... And by the way, in the whole bloody affair, you don't know the end, because you know how in part one, they're like, does she know her daughter's still alive? That's not in there.
Yeah.
So you find out when you're supposed to find out when she finds out.
Yeah.
And that's a whole thing, because then she has to keep it together. But she does every emotion. She's very fit. It's a very physical role.
Yeah.
Especially part one.
Yeah.
And she carries it perfectly.
Absolutely.
Like it's such a bummer. I mean, they've been talking. She was talking to him about a part three, but like it's kind of sad it happened to that relationship. Because I guess in part two, there's a car stunt. Like, he got in trouble for this last year, and as well he should have. And he said it's the biggest regret of his career. There was a car stunt that wasn't properly prepared for her, and she didn't know she was doing it either. And there's a car accident. The car crashed, and she got hurt. Yeah. Like, not a good moment for our boy Tarantino.
Yeah.
Not great. And, she, you know, they haven't really talked a whole lot since then, but they've been kind of warming up after that, and... It's a bummer because they really could have done a lot more together.
No, absolutely.
Like, because even I remember when part of volume 2 was coming out, there's a whole cover, Rolling Stone cover feature about them, and she was like, "That's my director." Like, it's like in the old days. But then like you find out now, like, oh man, like, you know, I don't know what she would have been in, but she could have been in other things.
Yeah,
you know, it sucks, but I guess they're cool now. Like, because he has apologized to her, and he really did feel bad about it, but he does say that's something I should never have done.
Well, that's good that he admitted that.
Yeah. What's your number one?
That's what my number one is, Breath and Glorious Bastards.
Oh, that's right. That's your number one. Mondo's is number one with Samuel L. Jackson, and that was God that we didn't get to. Nope. So, his number two, and Mondo is on Mondo's list too, is Christoph Waltz and Django Unchained. I disagree. I don't think Walsh should have won for that, actually. Like, especially looking back at that category, I'm like, no, he's good in it.
Yeah.
But that's not the performance I would have picked. But I will say Christoph Waltz is my number one for Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah.
He's great the whole way. And because this is your first at-bat with Christoph Waltz, it's really cool. Because you're like, how did you find this person that can speak English, French, Italian, and German?
Yeah.
But subsequently, Waltz would just do a lot of Christoph Waltz the rest of the decade, which might make it not age well, but actually it makes it age better, because this is the best version of it.
Okay.
Because if you see him in, like, Green Hornet, or you see him in, like, God Help You, Spectre, like, it's a lot of the bad way of... Like, Christoph Waltz has only a couple notes he can hit, so he's hit them a lot in the last decade, like, especially since Django.
Okay.
Yeah. He's, don't get me wrong, he's very good in Django, but he should not have won for it. In fact, he should not have been nominated for it. It should have been either Sam Jackson or DiCaprio. Yeah. And both of them should have lost to Philip Seymour Hoffman for The Master, but that's neither here nor there. But as Hans Landa, holy crap.
Yeah.
The first 15 minutes, when he's with Mr. Lapetite, and compliments the milk, like, oh, each daughter's more lovely than the last. And then he turns the screws on him. You have Jews here, don't you? And you're like, oh, shit. So, like, because you think, oh, Hitler's the bad guy in this movie, when really, like, Landa's the bad guy.
Yeah, well, it was the, what was his nickname?
The Jew Hunter.
There we go. Thank
you. But, like, you know why, like, he's, like, really affable, and then it's, like, when it's down to business, you have Jews here, don't you?
Yeah.
And you see his face turn, and you're like, I'm scared now.
Yeah.
And even when, like, Shoshana's in, like, the room, and they're pitching her on, her hosting the Nation's Pride screening.
Yeah.
And she's just terrified the entire time he's there.
Yep.
like, she can't... He's like, oh, man, but there's just one... I don't know. I just...
There's something I want to say.
Yeah, he's like, you think he's going to Columbo her ass. He's like, yeah. For life, man, I don't remember.
Yeah.
And I've heard readings on that. Like, I forgot... Like, you forget, like, that's kind of when, like, Germany kind of knew it was going to lose. So maybe he was checked out. Maybe he did recognize Shoshana, or he didn't. You don't know.
Yeah.
And when he's trying, he's negotiating his, like, surrender to Private Superior.
Yeah, I want to be a national...
I want the National Medal of Honor. I want my own place in Nantucket. He's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's a Hall of Fame performance. He deserved that Oscar.
Yeah.
For sure. Like, it's my favorite, because because even Tarantino said, like, his original choice, at one point it was going to be, originally, because he wrote it, like, the late 90s, the first draft.
Okay.
Londa, I think, was going to be, I think it's going to be Bruce Willis. And then it became DiCaprio, but he's like, but DiCaprio couldn't have done the accent, obviously.
Yeah.
So he's like, he didn't know how this part would have worked. He's like, it's unfilmable the way I want it. Then he found Christoph Waltz somewhere, and he's like, that's my movie.
Yeah.
And even the whole time he's like playing Sherlock Holmes, and they go to like the bar, and he's like, "Oh, Hugo Stiglitz." It's like, "Wow, lieutenant, huh? Okay, wow, that's pretty high ranking for someone like you."
Yeah,
he's great the whole way, and just when he's totally just busting their balls because he knows who they are. Yep. The Dominic is like, what was it, Margaretti? No, one more time, Margaretti.
No.
Put some. I want to hear the music in it.
Yeah.
And then when he, like, goes apeshit on Bridget von Hammersmark, like, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I thought, maybe that's too high, but no, it's appropriate.
See, I was thinking of putting him on there, too, but I was just like, yeah, no, I didn't want to put multiple people.
I know, well, that's why, because, like, I had two pull, but I'm like, yeah. Oh, but they're both really good performances. Like,
exactly.
I'm leaving out, because, like, I'm like, I want someone from Jackie Brown in here, because, like, I love that movie so much.
Okay.
But I'm like, I don't know who to put, because there's, like, not one, because everyone works together really well. Like, Sam Jackson's great in it, Michael Keaton's really good in it in his time, Pam Grier's obviously great, De Niro, actually, I've appreciated that more, because he's stoner De Niro.
Oh, okay.
It's on Showtime, if you have Showtime, it's on there.
I think I do.
Or you can probably rent it for, like, 99 cents.
Probably.
It's worth your time, it's long, but it's worth your time.
Okay.
Debo's in it, and Chris Tucker.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. There are a couple other people, too, but, like, yeah. And a lot of it takes place on Hermosa Beach.
Oh. Mm-hmm. My old stomping grounds.
That's right. But, yeah, this is a really tough list. And next week, in honor of Hobbs and Shaw, I wanted to do our top five for best car chases.
Yeah.
Yeah. I came to play.
Hey, you know what? We gotta do something Fast and Furious, right?
Well, because it's like, it's so fun to rank the Fast movies, because it's like, it's 5, 1, and then whatever, take your pick.
And yeah, sure.
Plus you haven't seen them, which is really weird, because you're more of a car guy than I am.
We'll see, like...
We can get into this next week.
But yeah. Yeah. We'll save that.
Anyway, so we'll talk about more training camp stuff, because I'm sure some contract extensions for somebody will come through.
Maybe an injury.
There's going to be more trailers. We'll talk about the Gemini Man trailer next week. I forgot to bring that up this week. Oops.
Yeah.
We'll have more of that. I'm going to probably talk about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, because I will have seen it. God damn it. I'm going to see it this weekend. You're going to talk about Django, because I'm going to make you walk home with it.
Well, I'll drive home, but yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway, Brian might be back next week. I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, thanks, guys. Have a good night.
Yeah. Bye, guys.